about.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about arse?
What?
Is arse a swear word?
Arse, yes, it's a swear word.
No, it's not.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
This ain't right.
You offer 2 weeks paid vacation and 5 sick days?
Yes, that's standard for all employees.
What we would like to do is take all of that up front, and then we'll see you in 3 weeks, refreshed and ready to go.
You know, if you're going to do something, do it right, or don't do it at all.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like, mother f***ing.
And now,
Weenie in the Butt, on the radio.
Our feature presentation.
Weenie in the Butt, back on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday here on the so-called Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean. How are you?
I missed you last week.
Well, I missed you too, actually.
Oh, that's nice of you to say, because I know you don't mean it, but thank you anyway. I appreciate that. Muggs, I didn't miss you much, though.
Oh, come on, Bean.
So we still do this show? This is still a thing that happens?
I haven't gotten a memo otherwise. We're like Ralph's waiting to hear. Do we come into work or don't we?
Supermarket strike, yeah.
Right.
Since I wasn't here, I only missed a couple of days last week, so I don't know if you did the story that I was sitting on. I almost came to work last Wednesday, even though it was a vacation day, because I was so excited to talk about the story. So please tell me whether you already talked about the man who had the eel swim up his penis. Has that already been covered?
Yes.
We talked.
Was that the best?
Yes. I pictured bigger eels than that, to be honest, when I first heard the story.
Yeah, this eel looked like he was about the size of a pair of surgical scissors, I guess, by the time they got him out. But so you did deal with that.
I
didn't even know about these fish cleanses where you get into water with fish intentionally so they can clean up your skin. I didn't know anything about that existed.
Well, there's a foot massage. I've never done it. I think it's pretty high end, but I know that not a foot massage, but like a manicure or pedicure where they do put your feet in water. It's Japanese, mm-hmm. and they have these little tiny fish that nibble off all the dead skin. It's kind of creepy.
The goal is, I guess, it makes you look younger because it gets the dead skin off, in this case, your whole body, and you're supposed to come out looking younger. Now, the story that I read about the eel that you discussed, and for people who didn't hear it, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He climbs into a bathtub, basically, or a basin of some sort full of eels, then one goes up his penis, takes a 3-hour surgery for them to pull the now dead eel out. Yeah. But in the same article, they reference a similar incident with a 14-year-old boy in India who had to undergo emergency surgery for the same thing. And tell me how dodgy this is. The teenager said that while holding the fish, he had gone to the toilet, and while urinating, the fish had slipped from his hand and entered his urethra.
Oh.
Doesn't it sound like the 14-year-old boy took the eel into the bathroom for some other reason?
I'm imagining so. That really?
Yeah, I've used
slipped.
Yeah, I've used that excuse before.
This is just like, in how many stories have we seen where the guy fell on the vacuum cleaner hose, or something was in the shower that he slipped and fell and it went up his butt. I mean, there are all sorts of stories like this where you just, yeah, maybe that's what happened, but you know, maybe it's not.
I'm trying to even picture how that works.
Yeah, and the fish would jump, or the eel, I guess, would jump out of your hand and swim up your wee-wee.
How is that at all pleasurable?
Right.
Isn't that the most painful thing in the world?
I would think that you would want to keep a small swimmy thing as far away as possible from your junk.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I know when you're 14 and you're a guy, you're going to, I mean, you get aroused by the wind. I mean, anything sounds fun to a point. But what were his expectations? That somehow this fish was going to be a sweet lover? I mean, what did he think was going to happen?
Don't you hollow out a piece of fruit or something? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
There's a huge, long list of things you do before you start taking fish into the bathroom and close the door.
That isn't good for you.
Exactly.
Did he have to have that surgically removed also?
He sure did, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They removed it from his bladder. Went all the way up and into his bladder when he had the emergency surgery. So that is not...
They do swim upstream, right?
I guess so. I just, again, what was he hoping? What did he think was going to happen there?
So. That's a good question.
Good times. Anyway, huge Kevin and Bean show straight ahead.
We're very glad to have you back.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Continue that enthusiasm.
All right.
Who watched the Emmys last night?
You did?
You did not?
I love the Emmys. I tape the Emmys, but I was actually at the taper watching Bad Behavior, so I missed them.
I watched the Emmys.
What'd you think, Muggs?
I thought it was all right.
How was Jane Lynch?
She was good. She was good. A lot of energy.
Yeah, it wasn't an exceptional show. I mean, look, I'm spoiled now because I've seen Ricky Gervais host a TV program.
Mm-hmm.
So very few people compare anymore. But Jane had some good lines, and she was energetic, and they did some pretty nice taped pieces. And in general, like all award shows, they're way too long. There are way too many words you don't care about, and there are way too many people standing up on stage reading lists of names.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess I know why they do that, but it seems like the industry, and I say this every award season, the industry needs to come up with some consensus and go, we're on television now. Let's be entertaining. Let's save the thanks for take an ad out in the trades or put it up on your website. There's nothing more boring than seeing somebody stand up there and read a list of 20 names. Nothing. Yeah.
No, and if they kind of did a blanket policy, then everybody would feel free to stop asking, you know, thanking their agent and their publicist.
Yes,
and
yes, exactly.
All those
exactly.
people.
But, you know, there were certainly a couple of surprises, and I know Ralph will cover that in the Showbiz Beat coming up here in a minute. And we've got a Los Angeles Times TV critic joining us next hour for a breakdown recap. Unfortunately, we're going to spoil the whole show for you, Lisa, before you even watch it on DVR today.
Oh, that's okay, because I know a few awards, and one is so exciting to me, and I know to you too, Bean.
Yes. I basically cheered. I basically cheered.
I think I'm going to wait this afternoon when I watch it.
Also, a recap of one of the most controversial boxing matches in as long as I can remember, and that was the Mayweather-Ortiz fight over the weekend. I know Ralph and some others are just furious at Floyd, who remains undefeated and walked away with what some say was an unfair and sketchy win.
Wow, I haven't heard anything
Saturday
about
night.
This.
Yes, quite controversial. Tyler Labine joins us on the program today. He, of course, from The Reaper.
Yes.
He's got a new film coming out. We'll talk to him. Bombshell revelations by that creepy guy who you remember was in the news a couple years ago, who essentially was stalking Sarah Palin and her family. Under the guise of a journalist, he ended up renting the house next door to them, which, to me, I don't know. I understand you want to get close to your source, but isn't there something a little bit creepy about writing a book about somebody and renting the house next door to them so that you can spy on them?
Yeah, there's something really creepy about that.
Really creepy. Look, this is Bean speaking. I know from creepy, okay? I wouldn't do that. At least I'd rent a place two doors down. I mean, come on. Yeah. Next door? Over the fence? Anyway, he has written a book that has some bombshell allegations about the former future vice president, so we'll talk about that. Bad ways you discovered you were single on the program today. It's not always broken down to you maybe the way you might hope. It's not always laid out for you in a pleasant way.
Yeah, I think because people are cowards
yes.
a lot of times.
Beer Mug, did you find out on Twitter? How did you find out recently? It seemed like it was a surprise to you.
I found out when I woke up and there's another guy in my bed.
Wait
okay.
a second.
Yeah.
Also, did I mention Harvey Levin from TMZ.com because it's Monday, so we got that for you, too. And I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good show, I think.
It's going to be fine, and it's going to get going next with the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. The band was called the Ataris, and that was their moment on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 5:51.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Changed everything. Decided to save money on paying players.
Wow. All right, dude from Canada.
Friday. Yeah, really. And enjoying... just call for
You've
the ticket. Just call for the ticket.
That was a moment with Ralph.
See, this is why you don't want to miss a day, because you missed the good stuff. Well done, Ralph. Nice
Thank
job.
You.
It is Monday. How was your weekend, dude?
Great.
Good to see you.
Speaking of Mondays and speaking of weekends, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office weekend. Number one, as expected, The Lion King 3D. In its debut re-release in 3D, made $29.3 million good enough to make it number one by a long shot, actually. Then Contagion came in at number two, 14.
Now, are you surprised by The Lion King doing as well as it did?
No. In fact, all of the industry experts predicted it. We were talking about it last week. They were saying that's going to be number one.
It's wild to me because, I mean, that's a beloved movie that is now, I assume, is part of everyone's childhood coming up. Right? I mean, it's one of those Disney classics that your kids watch, right? Mm-hmm. But doesn't everybody watch that on DVD at this point? I mean, who's left to go see it in the theater?
Lots of people.
Apparently so.
According to these numbers, lots of people. Well, Disney's great with how they release their DVDs, too. They only make it a limited edition, and they release it for a short time. So some people, I'm sure, do have it. But if you don't, and you certainly if you want to see it in 3D and your kids want to see it in 3D, you got to go. So $29.3 million made it number one. Contagion was number two at the box office, $14.5 mil. Drive, in its debut, made $11 million, good enough to make it number three. Then The Help and Straw Dogs rounded out the top five. I don't know how she does it. A movie about Sarah Jessica Parker's film career. She is sixth at the box office, $4.5 million. The Debt, Warrior, Planet of the Apes, and Columbiana rounded out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Last night was the big Emmy Awards telecast. Jane Lynch as host on Fox. And interesting show, I thought, last night. Modern Family racked up the award for Best Comedy for its second consecutive win. Best Drama, the award was given to Mad Men. They have won four times in a row that TV series.
Wow. Were you watching the show live? I know it was on. Didn't it kind of overlap with the football game a little bit, Ron?
I had to watch what I could after the football game.
Yeah. It was actually, I think Modern Family won the first four statues of the night. And it was kind of getting a little bit boring. One right after another to see another Modern Family person get up there and give a speech. But yeah. Eventually they spread it out a little bit.
I missed those early awards, but as Bean mentioned, Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy went to Ty Burrell for Modern Family. Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy went to Julie Bowen for Modern Family. Best Movie or Miniseries was the Downton Abbey Masterpiece Theater. That cleaned up as far as the highfalutin stuff went. For Best Actor in a Comedy, Jim Parsons won again for Big Bang Theory. Best Actress in a Comedy was a surprise. Melissa McCarthy won for Mike and Molly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like her.
I like her. I liked her in Bridesmaids.
Saw that show. Yeah,
I've never seen a Mike and Molly, and I think she may have benefited from a little Bridesmaids blowback, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of people saw that movie and liked it, and she won the award for Best Actress in a Comedy.
I think you're totally right. Who's ever seen Mike and Molly?
Enough people to give her the award, I guess.
She used to be in Gilmore Girls, too, and she was really good in that. But
yeah. Best Actor in a Drama went to, who was that? Kyle Chandler. Kyle Chandler won for Friday Night Lights.
Do you acknowledge his existence now, Ralph? Do you accept that Friday Night Lights is a real show?
Yeah, with that wildly popular series he's on. Yes, I could see why he got, wait a minute, that was canceled. Yeah. Best Actress in a Drama, Juliana Margulies, once again, for The Good Wife. Well-deserved. She's real good in that. Mm-hmm. Peter Dinklage won for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. He's the little person from Game of Thrones.
So good. He's such a good actor.
He's a great,
he's
great
so good
actor.
In that.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed that the microphone was able to go down to his level. When he walked up on it was the whole time he was walking up to the stage, I was thinking, how's he going to give a speech? The microphone's going to be way too high because there's no way the mic's going to go down that low. But I guess they had thought that ahead of time, and they managed to make it work for him.
While we're talking about people who had a hard time making it to the stage, Margot Martindale won for Best Supporting Actress in a Drama for Justified. She almost got on her hands and knees and climbed up the stage.
Really? Yes,
she could not make it up to the microphone. I don't know whether she's got a bad wheel or what was going on, but she could not manage. Ed O'Neill damn near burst out of his seat running up there trying to help her. So finally got up there and accepted her award. Barry Pepper won for Best Actor in a Miniseries or Movie for his work in The Kennedys, and Kate Winslet, who looked great last night, by the way.
Yeah.
She won for Best Actress in Miniseries or a Movie for Mildred Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Race, by the way, won for Best Reality Show. Again.
What? Amazing Race won? Are you kidding me?
Again.
That's what, 8 out of 9 times they've given that award?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The Michaela Salahi and Tariq Salahi story just keeps getting better. We were following it this last week when Tariq Salahi, her soon-to-be ex-husband, was saying that she was kidnapped and she was abducted and no one's helping me, no one's taking this seriously. And it turns out it was because she was running off with Neil Schoen, the guitarist from Journey, and was banging him in Memphis, Tennessee when Tariq was trying to track down his wife. Well, no surprise, he has filed for a divorce from Michaela, citing adultery and abandonment as the prime reasons for the split. He said the worst part, however, is that the couple's Doberman pincher, Rio, is suffering from a broken heart as well. Apparently, Tariq says the dog is so depressed it can't get out of bed.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Try snossages.
Don't forget about her in a hurry.
That's right.
I did not follow the news as closely as I usually do, Ralph, when I was out a couple days last week. But how did he find out that she was shacked up with the dude from Journey?
Apparently TMZ had photos of her and Neil in Memphis while he was on tour there with Foreigner. And there were shots of them together.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
She eventually had to notify people as well, saying that... look, I'm not kidnapped. I'm fine. I've left my husband, pretty much.
Call off the dogs.
But she did not tell Tariq before she left. She said she was going to get her hair done and then went to Memphis. So he found out in a bad, bad way. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It's not even any... It's hard enough to be left for a guy from Journey, I think. But now he claims Neil Schon is sending him pictures of his junk in his email account.
No.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
This is awesome.
This is what your wife's getting now, pretty much, kind of thing.
Now, I love this story, and I want every word of it to be true. But isn't this chick the whore who does everything she can to get on television? Remember, she was trying to be on The Real Housewives, and she's always doing... is it possible that this whole thing is just a ploy to make her famous again?
She was thrown off of Celebrity Rehab when they realized that she wasn't addicted to anything. They had to ask her to leave. That's how badly she wants to be on television. I suppose it could be a publicity stunt, but by all accounts, the paperwork has been filed, but then again, Heidi and Spencer filed paperwork.
Right.
That's true. But then the Journey guy gets involved. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, but it's interesting that it's a celebrity that she's shacked up with, a quasi-celebrity. It's not just the neighbor. You know what I mean? It just seems like everything's calculated here.
Yeah.
She wouldn't shack up with just the neighbor. Have to be someone famous, right?
That's true. Maybe she thinks it's a trade-up.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about pictures of people's junks... Apparently, Justin Timberlake has come forward and said, yes, those photos that were hacked off of Mila Kunis' cell phone. The picture of him laying in the bed, of course, is him. The one with him wearing the panties on his head is, of course, him. But the picture of the penis, that is absolutely not him. His people claim that intimate shot of his goodies is not, in fact, Justin Timberlake's. Of course, there's no way to prove it. There's no face in that photo. There's just the unit, but you know what that means. Small.
That's why he's denying it.
If that was a huge penis, he wouldn't be so quick to deny it. That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danielle Pennebaker, very talented actress. She was on a Shark. She played James Woods' daughter on that show. 24 years old today. Victoria Silvstedt, one of our favorites.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Former Playmate of the Year. She's 37 years old. Late night TV show host Jim Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, 37 years old today. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live is 49 years old. Actor Jeremy Irons celebrates his 63rd birthday. James Lipton, the host of Inside the Actor's Studio, he's 85 years old today.
No.
Yes.
That's got to be a typo.
This has got to be Dave the King of Mexico, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, 70, maybe 75, but 85, that's incredible.
No way.
I'm going to have to source the King of Mexico on this list that he gets.
He doesn't know who
morning.
He is. He thought, he's the iced tea guy.
Oh, he does the plunge. I love him. He's so good. And he can't be older than Adam West, right?
No.
Because it's Adam West's birthday today. TV's Batman. Celebrates his 83rd birthday today. So, happy birthday to you. I'll finish the song later. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Are we on? Is this thing working? Hello?
Yes, it is.
We're good to go.
You speak.
Yeah, you got to send me the music so I know that, Muggs. Thank you. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ at 6:08. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday where things are rolling smoothly as they always do. This Sarah Palin, I know there are a lot of people out there who love her. She's annoying to me, and I'll tell you why. Either you're in or you're not in running for president. You can't tour the country in a bus, whipping up support and raising money if you're not running for president. Otherwise, you're just wasting everybody's time and you're muddying the waters. If you really do want somebody to defeat President Barack Obama, don't be out there giving people the idea that they have another option coming down the pike. Instead, throw your support behind somebody else that you like who you think can win. Just doesn't make any sense from a political standpoint. I just get the impression she's doing it just because she loves the adulation that she gets when she's out there on the road. And I'm sure that Sarah Palin supporters are going to ignore this new book that is coming out. It is called The Rogue, Searching for the Real Sarah Palin, and it's written by a guy named Joe McGinnis, and there are some very explosive charges in the book. And we thought, why not go straight to the horse's mouth? The former governor of the great state of Alaska, Sarah Palin, joins us here on Kevin Bean Show right now. Hi, Miss Palin. How are you?
Oh, gosh. How are you? It's great to speak with you. Hello? Oh, what's wrong with my phone? Oh, golly gosh. Must be that lamestream media.
Well, we haven't said anything yet, but your early thoughts on the book. Have you had a chance to see Mr. McGinnis's book yet, Sarah?
Oh, no. I won't be reading this book. It's all filled with lies and innuendo and smears. And I'm not reading that sort of garbage, and I don't recommend that anybody else does either. Wink,
all right, well, there...
wink.
wait, hold on a second. Is there a wink there? Are you suggesting that people actually do read the book?
No, I just wink a lot.
Wink. I see, okay. Some of the stories, and by the way, I say bombshell allegations. I mean, let's face it, you were a single dating woman at one time, and in the book are stories about a sexual encounter you had with a man who went on to become an NBA great, Glenn Rice. You guys had a brief fling at one point back when you were both in college, is that right?
Well, that's what they're saying in this book, is that before Todd and I eloped, that I was with this basketball fella, Glenn Rice, whoever that is.
Uh-huh.
And they say that we had a brief affair, and that's the kind of lies I'm talking about, that's just filled with lies and innuendo and just half-truths.
So what was the truth, and what was your relationship with Glenn Rice? I mean, you guys were both single at the time. Is the scandal here that you had sex before you got married? Because I can't imagine that shocks anyone at this time in our history.
Well, they say we had a brief sexual encounter in the book, and that's the thing I really have a problem with. That's the biggest lie, really, because we had a long sexual relationship. That's what it was. Glenn and I would get an eight ball and just lock ourselves up into a cheap motel room and do the backdoor mailman and the frothy walrus. And then he introduced me to the clogged blowhole. I tried that one with Glenn. Then I used to do the Babe Ruth with him and the Angry Pirate.
Then I'd
break out the Alaska Snow Dragon. He had never seen that one before, and he showed me the Dirty Danza. We went on to try the Paul Bunyan and the Nestle Knockout. And then in the Alaskan Oil Exchange, and then finally we brought another girl in, and we did the Bulgarian Swan Dive and the John Elway.
Wow.
Then he would show me the Iraqi drill press with a couple of his friends, and I taught him the Helen Keller while he was teaching me the wet umbrella. Then the Russian hamster race was the last thing we did together before last time we broke up, and then we did the West Texas handshake, and finally when it was all over, one last fling, we had the Hungarian turkey baster.
So it sounds like there are a lot of details left out of the book.
Yeah, like that we shot up heroin. They don't mention that, do they?
Well, now the only drugs that they talk about here is that you were reported to have been snorting cocaine.
I know.
With
these
some friends.
Truths, for God's sake. I used to chase the dragon all the time. How about mentioning that? I came out of that unscathed. What about the meth? Why don't they bring that up?
Oh, I don't know. Really? Is this what you're saying? Is heroin and meth you're adding to the pile now, Sarah?
This is just shabby journalism is what I'm saying. It's gotcha journalism. And, you know, if they're going to talk about me, then I insist they talk about the truth. Like, how about the fact I used to be a dude?
What?
Okay, that's just, that. You're a very beautiful, shapely woman. That's just not possible.
With
Come
an
on.
Enormous unit.
I don't think that's at all true. I think you're just making stuff up now at this point, Ms. Palin.
Yeah, it's fun just to yank your chain.
Yes. Yes. Woo! Harvey Danger, Woo! Yes. On the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, it is 6:21. Welcome to Monday, recap of the Emmys with a Los Angeles Times reporter who knows stuff, coming up on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Hey, Ralph.
Hey!
Welterweight fight, not a lot of big marquee boxing matchups anymore. The world seems to have gone in a UFC direction, but there are still some draws at the top of the bill. And the welterweight fight between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Victor Ortiz was one that a lot of people were into. You bought the fight? You saw it Saturday night?
I did. Against my better judgment, because I didn't think it was going to be much of a fight, really. I saw Ortiz beat Berto in his last fight, and I thought it was an entertaining fight, but I didn't think he was in the same class, really, as a Mayweather. So I got it. I didn't get the HD version. I got the cheaper version because I said, oh, maybe something interesting will happen. I'll be able to watch it. Because I had to do the show. I had to go do Babylon that night anyway. So right. I knew I wasn't going to watch it live. So I said, I'll just record it. Maybe there'll be some ridiculous upset or maybe something interesting will happen. So I'll watch it when I get home from having done Hollywood Babylon. And so I watched it and I could not believe what transpired.
You were up half the night screaming at Floyd Mayweather Jr. Now, for folks who haven't heard the story, tell people why it was so controversial the way it ended. Even though Floyd Mayweather, and you were right in your assessment, by all accounts was a better fighter, was better prepared, and was handily winning the fight up until the fourth round. Then what happened?
Well, I don't know about handily. I mean, he was obviously ahead, but in the fourth round particularly, I think Ortiz sort of came on. He's a young, strong fighter, and he was working pretty good. He had him up against the ropes. He was working the body pretty good. I think he got Mayweather's attention for the first time in the fight, really, in the fourth round. That's when things went horribly awry. He headbutted Mayweather up when he was up against the ropes. He was working the body, and he obviously and purposefully moved forward with his head and headbutted him in the mouth. And I think it was either out of frustration or anger or hatred or something. It was a bizarre thing to watch a professional boxer lose his cool like that and headbutt somebody.
Yeah, that's Tyson-esque, and that is a big no-no, and you lose points for that if you make that move, like Ortiz did, right?
They take a point of the scorecard, yeah, for something as intentional as that. So that's what the judge did. The ref in the ring stopped the fight and separated the fighters and went around to the judges and told them to pull a point off the scorecard for Ortiz for the intentional headbutt. And right after he did it, you could see Ortiz was miserable with himself. He was furious that he had acted that way, and he was more than apologetic, and I think genuinely apologetic, because even after the point was off the scorecards, there was nothing he could do. He wasn't pleading his case to the ref. He went to Mayweather several times in an act of contrition and tried to apologize, hugged him, and ultimately what ended up being his undoing was his insistence on apologizing to Mayweather, because when they went back to the center of the ring and the ref called the fight in, he once again went to embrace him and to ensure he knew how sorry he was. And Mayweather looked at him and sort of was talking to him and then just sucker punched him, just hit him with a left hook and a right cross that just knocked his ass out.
Wow. In other words, Ortiz is still in the, hey, we cool, sorry about that, my bad, all right, let's start fighting again. And before that thought even left his head, Mayweather just decks him, right? Knocks him down.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a classic sucker punch too. It was the kind of sucker punch that Jay Moore talks about in a street fight, where you put your hands up and say, "No, man, there's no problem here. We're cool." Bam, and then out of nowhere you just throw it. I mean, Mayweather really suckered him, and the fight was in. They had said box, so the fight was going on, and everyone was screaming at me when I was complaining about it. It was legal. It was legal. It was legal. And I said, I never said it wasn't legal. It absolutely was legal. But there's a difference between something that's allowed and then sportsmanship. I mean, in any other fight, in any other situation, they would have looked at each other, he would have apologized again, they would have touched him up, they would have separated, put their hands up, and they would have started fighting again.
Right. And that's what it is. And even the ref agrees with you. He says, yeah, we were back on the clock. It was legal, and Mayweather was quick to mention that in the post-fight interview as well. But a super unsportsmanlike cheap shot, and now he's sitting at home, still undefeated. He made at least $25 million for that fight. And all he's done is whet everybody's appetite for a rematch, right?
If he's
never going to fight back.
Yeah,
you know?
If he gives him one. I don't know. Yeah, I think he was bothered a little bit by this kid. I think he was more to handle than he was expecting, quite frankly. And that's why I think he took the quickest way out of that fight as he could.
Now, here's what is really rubbing people the wrong way. Even if you're willing to cede, hey, it was a legal move, the fight was in, he was allowed to box then, maybe it wasn't cool, but he did it. Even if you give Mayweather that.
Yes.
Listen to what happened in the post-fight interview with poor 115-year-old Larry Merchant, who, by the way, was at the first boxing match in Rome 3,000 years ago.
He's not that old.
He's almost that old, but here's a little bit of the post-fight interview from HBO, I guess, or pay-per-view, rather. You'll see it on HBO this weekend, this past Saturday night. Listen up.
You were in charge of the fight. You were aggressive and trying and taking advantage of what you saw.
You know what I'm going to do, because you don't ever give me a fair shake. You know that? So I'm going to let you talk to Victor Ortiz, all right? I'm through. They put somebody else up and give me an interview. You never give me a fair shake. HBO needs to fire you. You don't know about boxing. You ain't shit. I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass. You won't do that.
Larry.
That's
Larry.
One of the greatest lines I have ever heard from anyone. How old is he? He's in his 80s,
Larry's
right?
80. Larry's 80 years old.
If I were 50 years younger, I'd kick your ass. How often do you see that happen on TV?
That's
it was
amazing.
Spectacular. And he was doing nothing but a straight interview. It wasn't like he was taking shots. I don't know where it came from with Mayweather's hostility. I really don't. He was telling him, you can hear it in that clip, you were dominating in the fight, you were ahead on points, you know, you were at, wait, you don't know anything. He was actually complimenting him at that point when he went off. I don't understand it, but it was magical.
Yeah, it's not like Merchant was in there saying the stuff that a lot of people are saying, which is, hey, unsportsmanlike, yeah, cheap shot, what the hell are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does Mayweather, look, obviously Mayweather felt, I don't know if he felt bad, but he knew what the feeling was in the room, which was that it wasn't fair the way he won. Maybe he was, for that reason, he was being defensive. But how do you come out and say, Larry Merchant, you don't know anything about boxing?
Yeah, that's
where does that come from?
Larry's been following the game for longer than most of us have been alive, so it's hard to say. Yeah,
certainly longer than Mayweather's been alive. Yeah. And here's a little bit of talking to Ortiz also after the fight about the way he lost.
Was it your fault for not protecting yourself at all times?
No. Absolutely not. I was called a break by the referee, so I did as I obeyed. And, I obeyed exactly as I was told, and I looked at the refs, and I went like that, and I looked up, and then, boom, I was out. So, it happened.
It happens.
It happens.
You said something in your Twitter Saturday night that you would urge people to not ever buy a Mayweather fight again.
Yeah, because Mayweather doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care that he's put another black eye on an already struggling sport of boxing, which is really one of my favorite sports. I know I watch MMA and I enjoy it, but for me, boxing has always been sort of a long-time love. So he doesn't care that people think it was unsportsmanlike. He doesn't care that it robbed us of watching a real fight. You know, I would have liked to seen these two guys really fight each other and to see who would come out above, the other man. He doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is his money. All he cares about is the box office numbers and the pay-per-view numbers. And I won't contribute to his next Bentley. You know, I won't give him any more money. I'll wait for it to be free on HBO. I will not buy another pay-per-view that he participates in, because I don't want to give him any more money. I don't like the guy. I don't like how he operates. I don't like him as a person. If you watch the 24/7 series on HBO leading up to this fight, he's just a piece of crap, and his father's a piece of crap, and his uncle's a piece of crap. They're just a bad group of people, and I don't want to patronize them any longer.
You're going to kick his ass when you see him, too. You and Larry Merchant, right?
If I was 50 years younger, I'd kick his ass. It's funny, Larry Merchant said afterwards, he goes, I really don't think I could have kicked his ass even if I was 50 years old, but I would have tried. And I said, good for you, Larry.
Good times. All right, thank you. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, the day after the 63rd Annual Emmy Awards were on the TV last night. And one of the people that was watching, along with millions of other Americans, is on our phone right now. Mary McNamara is an LA Times TV critic and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Before we talk about winners and losers, the Emmys ought to be good television. It's all about people who make good television. What'd you think of it as a broadcast last night?
You know, I thought it was fine. I thought it dragged a lot in the middle. But I thought, last year's Emmys was so good because Jimmy Fallon's, he really kept things moving, and then the big musical number at the beginning and the musical number in the middle. And so the bar was kind of high. I mean, compared to that, it wasn't quite as good. But compared to the ones before that, it was brilliant. So,
The Emmys had gone through a dry spell before they got a little bit revitalized last year.
Dry is a kind term, yes. Okay.
What did you think of Jane Lynch?
You know, I thought she did well. I mean, she had a big musical number at the beginning that was amusing, not quite as good as last year, but I thought was very funny. They had she had a lot of, she kept up with what was actually happening and had a lot of, like, kind of fun jokes. I liked that she addressed the gay issue head on with I have a gay agenda. I mean, I thought that she took some chances and was pretty funny.
Here's my favorite line from Jane Lynch from last night, the host of the Emmys.
A lot of people are very curious why I'm a lesbian. Ladies and gentlemen, the cast of Entourage.
I thought that was just a tremendous line. And you talk about
hilarious.
It. In your LA Times piece, by the way, the first paragraph talks about what you thought was the high point of the night, which was kind of a surprise. I don't think I've seen something like this before, when Amy Poehler jumped up on the stage. Right. Tell people about that who might not have seen it.
Well, when they started to announce the nominees for the best actress in a comedy, the first one was Amy Poehler, and she just gets up like she won. And then they announced the next one, and she got up like she was what? And also by the end, all of the women were up there on the stage acting as if they had won. And it was a great moment because not only did it feel fresh, and I believe it originated with Amy Poehler. It was her idea, and like she sort of enlisted the rest of the nominees. And you could see that Edie Falco was like a little unsure, not being the comedian in the group.
Yeah.
And it was like, but it was just really nice because not only was it funny, but it sort of showed that, yeah, it is. It really is actually very exciting to be nominated. I mean, that's kind of the trope that it's just an honor to be nominated. It doesn't matter who won. But you sort of felt like those women really believed that, and that was cool.
I agree. And you could see it seemed like, and of course they're all actresses, so I'll never know, but it seemed like there was some genuine admiration between the ladies and some real camaraderie, and they were just having a really, really good time with it. And you don't get that. So many award shows, including the Emmys, are usually just so stuffy and so boring, and it's nice to actually see people having a good time at a show like this. I think that comes through the TV.
No, absolutely, and I feel that is true of the Emmys. It was true last year, it's true this year, that you do sort of feel that they actually are like kind of happy when their friends win and they don't win, or they're just happy to be there, and that there's a much more of an ensemble feel about television than there is about film, just because it is more ensemble and these people have worked together. You know, you have crews and casts that have worked together for years and years. You have people that have been to the Emmys year after year after year. Poor Hugh Laurie, he's never going to win, I guess. It's like, come on. But, you know, you also have people who have won before. You have people who expect, you know, they'll probably be back next year. It's kind of like part of their job, you know?
Speaking of people who have never won, by the way, how is it possible that The Office now, without Steve Carell, never won for playing Michael Scott, one of the greatest characters in the history of television?
Yeah, that was kind of odd. I kind of expected him to, you know, that would be the sympathy. That would be the sympathy win. And so, I mean, that was kind of weird. There were a couple of weird moments. What was nice about the telecast, I felt, is that, you know, there was a lot of predictable, you know, Jon Stewart, Modern Family. You know, it was just
Amazing Race.
Kate Winslet, Amazing Race. It's like, let's just kick it to someone else just for fun. But then there were also some surprises, some of which were good and some of which were, you know, a little sad.
All right, let me throw out a couple of names for you, because we were discussing earlier when we were doing the Emmy rundown of winners last night that Melissa McCarthy, who won for Mike and Molly, which I know is a mid-sized hit, a lot of people felt like maybe what put her over the top was her great role in the Bridesmaids movie. What do you think?
I think that probably helped. I think there was also, you know, I mean, Melissa McCarthy has been on television for years and years, and everyone always agrees that she does, a stellar job. She raises up every show that she's in. And so I think that there was some of that payback. You know, it was like, here's a career payback win. You know, it's like, not, and she does a wonderful job in Mike and Molly. And I think people who like Mike and Molly love Mike and Molly. But I think that people really love her and wanted to send her a message.
It's sometimes hard to tell. If you're just joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, this is the voice of our guest, Mary McNamara. She is a Los Angeles Times TV critic, latimes.com. It's hard to tell sometimes what the vibe of the room is. You weren't there last night, right? You were watching at home?
No, I watched it on TV. I don't experience life real.
So sometimes you try to pick up on the vibe of what's inside the room. And I don't know if this was just wishful thinking because I'm such a fan, but I sense the audience was delighted to see Kyle Chandler finally win a major award, the first one, I think, that Friday Night Lights has ever won.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, not just because I think, you know, that's one of those shows where as the critics and the community have been beating the drum for it for years, but it also went through that weird, you know, where it got off the network and then it's on the network and now it has this weird kind of jerry-rigged deal with DirecTV. And so it's sort of like, you know, the show would not die. A good show would not die. And finally it got some, you know, mainstream, you know, the pinnacle of, you know, reaction.
Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton may be the best portrayal of a married couple I've ever seen on television. It shames me that they didn't win Emmys for those performances every year Friday Night Lights has been on the air.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that way, and a lot of people, you know, that it took this long, but at least it happened, you know, and I mean, and things like that do, you know, I mean, as Margot Martindale said, sometimes it just takes time.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't watch her show Justified, and she was another one of those actors like you were talking about with Melissa McCarthy, who has just been around forever. Everybody listening knows her face and knows she's a great actress, but it took the right time, right year, right role, right show for her to finally go home with some hardware.
Right.
Let me ask you one more thing about a winner, and then one more controversial question for you about last night's Emmys, and that is, what did you think about Mad Men? Any surprise at all to see it win its fourth in a row as the best drama?
Well, it was a surprise in that because, you know, John Hamm was the odds-on favorite. Matt Weiner has won for best writing since the show started. So when they didn't pick up those awards, I think there was a feeling that, oh, my goodness, this is going to be the year that Mad Men is finally dethroned. And then it was kind of surprising them when they won Best Drama, and you're just sort of like, but they didn't win any of the other awards.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You know, usually a Best Drama or a Best Comedy will pick up, I mean, Modern Family picked up they won in every category. Now, that's unusual, too, but usually you'll pick up one or two. And so I feel like it's like they just can't let Mad Men go. And I mean, and Mad Men is a great show, but man, every single one of those, the Best Drama nominees could have won easily. I mean, all of them were great. There wasn't a clunker among them. So
it is actually a very good time for television right now, isn't it? There's a lot of good shows on.
Wonderful time for television. Wonderful. And, you know, and we have a new season that's just picking up now and just more and more new shows. It's sort of like, I don't know when people are going to find the time to watch it because there are so many great returning shows. So it's
I agree. All right. My final question for you, Marion, you talk about new shows returning. Two and a Half Men comes back on CBS tonight without Charlie Sheen. He, to me, was a surprise that he was even on the Emmys last night because I thought he was a little bit persona non grata in Hollywood right now. But he came out, and I think he gave, to me, it seemed like a very bizarre speech. Here's a clip of Charlie Sheen on stage. I really was set up for, he's going to say something funny.
Before I present outstanding lead actor in a comedy series, my old category, I want to take a moment to get something off my chest and say a few words to everybody here from Two and a Half Men.
And I'm you know, moving forward on my couch going, all right, he's a guy who has been famous for comedy television. This is going to be rich.
From the bottom of my heart, I wish you nothing but the best for this upcoming season. We spent 8 wonderful years together, and I know you will continue to make great television.
How anticlimactic was that? How boring was that?
You know what? It was totally bizarre, and I found it infuriating. It was like, what is, you know, to allow him this opportunity to sort of show that he's sober and whatever he is and non-crazy. In the middle of the Emmys, I think it was really uncomfortable. People were there, you know, I mean, I had a knot in my stomach going, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? You know, and then to have him, you know, sort of hijack the ceremony for his own personal weird little use.
It was a false note. And by the way, I don't know who the director of the Emmys was, but how do you not cut away to Chuck Lorre in the audience to see what his face is like when Charlie Sheen gets up on that stage, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know, like, what the agreements were with all the various parties involved. You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows what that was about? It was very, it's one of those things that might have looked good on paper, but just didn't play very well. I think it couldn't have looked good on paper either. It was just like, let's just keep him away from the whole thing.
It was weird.
And
it
also,
was weird.
When he says it's been 8 wonderful years, you're just like, well, let's ask John Cryer how wonderful
it was. All right, you
wonderful
can catch.
Is not the word he would use.
You can catch up with all the Emmy coverage. There's a ton of it in the LA Times newspaper, of course, and even more online at latimes.com. We've been talking to television critic Mary McNamara. Thanks for coming on today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Woo! Those guys who sing that song have a world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:57. It's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, because it is Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Lion King in 3D. Was number one at the box office by far this weekend, $29.3 million in its re-release. This, I think, does not bode well for those of us who are afraid that Disney's going to take every film they have now and slap 3D on it and put it back
in
theaters.
Yeah.
You're going to see Tarzan 3D. You're going to see Dumbo 3D. You're going to see Steamboat Willie 3D. You're going to see everything they got in the vault is coming out in 3D, I guarantee.
And the problem with that is you could just say, oh, just don't go. But when that's on 3,000 screens, that means there's a potential that something we'd like to see is not going to be playing because of it.
Right. Contagion was number two at the box office, made $14.5 additional million dollars this weekend. herself that she could wing it, that she could. She had to announce that she was going to ad lib to everyone. Oh, if I had a sniper rifle, she would have had a red dot right in her forehead.
It does seem like the average professional actor would just go out there and say the lines.
Right? You know the category you're about to award. That's all you have to say. You don't need to tell us that the teleprompter's down and you're struggling, but you're going to overcome it by some magical ad-libbing. Oh, for God's sakes. Everyone hates her. Drive is third. The Help and Straw Dogs came in at 4 and 5. I don't know how she does it. With 6, The Debt, Warrior, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Columbiana, were your rest of your top 10 at the box office this weekend. We are talking about the Emmys. That was the big event last night. In case you missed the major award winners, here's who took home the prize. Mad Men, Best Drama for the 4th consecutive time. Modern Family was Best Comedy. Best Movie or Miniseries went to Downton Abbey from Masterpiece Theater. Kyle Chandler won for Best Actor in a Drama for his work on Friday Night Lights. Best Actress in a Drama was Juliana Margulies from The Good Wife. I don't know, I think Lisa watched it. I don't know other guys are watching, but that's a great, great show. Mm-hmm. I was happy to see her win. Jim Parsons again for Best Actor in a Comedy. Really? I think he's good. But Steve Carell? Really?
Yeah, that hurt.
Best Actress in a Comedy, Melissa McCarthy from Mike and Molly. Best Supporting Actor in a Drama went to Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. And my friend Brad Williams tweeted last night, who was also a dwarf, the great thing about being a dwarf and winning an Emmy is you're the only actor to walk home with a surprise that is life-size. It's an extra bonus that I hadn't considered, but he's got a good point. Margot Martindale of Justified was Best Supporting Actress in a Drama. Ty Burrell and Julie Bowen from Modern Family each won for Best Supporting Actor and Actress in a Comedy. And Kate Winslet won for Best Actress in a Miniseries or Movie, so congratulations to her. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danielle Panabaker is 24 years old today.
Is she a belle, Ralph?
Yes. Oh, yeah, she's adorable. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria Silvstedt.
Oh.
Former Playmate of the Year and a friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, although we haven't seen her in a long time.
No. Former Miss Sweden, too, if I recall.
Yeah, she sure is. She sure is. 37 years old. Jimmy Fallon, also 37 years old today. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live is 49 years old. Jeremy Irons is 63. Speaking of Lion King, he, of course, is Scar in that film. Does a great vocal performance. It turns out we did a little research. James Lipton from Inside the Actors Studio is actually 85 years old.
Are you kidding me?
How is that possible?
That is a spectacular 85.
My God.
I've always made fun of the fact that he dyes his hair and beard a ridiculous color, but I just assumed that, you know, he was a man in his 60s, maybe early 70s who did that. I had no idea he was 85.
That's impressive.
He's a pretty sharp 85.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
I'm sorry. My bad. And my buddy, TV's Batman, Adam West, celebrates his birthday today. Woo. Adam is 83 years old today. Happy birthday, Adam. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Not a lot of people left around.
World famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, 708. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. So this Makeamaha and Tariq Salahi.
What happened?
What are the names?
Michaela and Tariq Salahi.
Those are not real names, first
they
of all.
They are real names.
They first came to our attention, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, a couple of years ago. They were the infamous White House party crashers, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Right? They showed up at some sort of formal state dinner, I think like the premier of China or somebody was at the White House, and they showed up at this party, and everybody was like, hey, how did they get in there within 15 feet of the president of the United States of America without a pass?
Yeah.
And they claimed that they were invited somehow, but they weren't party crashers. And remember, they went on this whole media tour about how their lives had been destroyed because of all the horrible things. And it just turned out that they were just fame-seeking publicity whores. And it's been almost impossible for us to rid ourselves of these people ever since then because they show up at everything all the time, always.
Well, his wife specifically apparently really wants to be a star. He's apparently got a couple bucks, and so he did whatever she wanted because she's fairly hot and he's fairly not. And she obviously was calling the shots in their relationship. So she went on the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. That's how she sort of gained her fame after that event and has been on television ever since.
Okay. Now, you guys talked about a story. I was out a couple days last week, but you talked about a story that was in the news that involved a crazy way that they have now split up, and he didn't know about it until he read about it on TMZ. And I think we have the bare details of the story from this report from Yahoo.com. Listen up.
On Tuesday, Tariq called police and reported that his wife was missing, and he believed she had been abducted or killed. D.C. told authorities she was fine. She just didn't want to be found. The Warren County Sheriff's Office released a statement saying she assured the deputy that she had left the residence with a good friend and was where she wanted to be. Mrs. Salahi advised that she did not want Mr. Salahi to know where she was. As for where she wanted to be, in Memphis with Journey guitarist Neal Schon. On Thursday, Tariq's attorney told Good Morning America that while he's relieved Mikhail's okay, he's devastated that she left him.
Okay, first things first. Why does every entertainment news show and site have to have a rave bed? We're not disco dancing while we're listening to the news.
Maybe you're not.
What's that about? I mean, seriously, doesn't it drive you crazy?
Yeah, it's terrible. Very annoying.
It's not necessary. And Ralph, why don't you pick up the pieces, fill in the rest of the story. Now, you said earlier that you think he found out about it from reading it online?
Yes. TMZ broke the story. That first, he went to TMZ and said, "My wife has been kidnapped." Which is, why do you go to TMZ?
That was my first question.
And then he said he talked to the Warren County Sheriff's Department, and they said, "Well, your wife had contacted us, and she said she's fine, that this might come up, but she just had some family issues." She reportedly told him, "I'm going to my mom. I'm going to get my hair done." Okay. And then she said, "I'm going to my mom's afterwards." He called her mother and she said, "I haven't heard or seen from Mikhaila. I don't know what you're talking about." That's what made him suspicious. Uh-huh. And he was afraid that she was abducted, and the abductors, he claimed, were making her make these phone calls saying that she was fine, but she really wasn't. And then TMZ broke the story that, in fact, she was all the way in Memphis, Tennessee, now with Neal Schon from Journey. They were hanging out and hooking up, and the marriage was over. And that's how he found out that he was cheating on him with a guy who he thought was a good friend of his, because Journey had apparently played many of their charity functions that they had put together.
Oh, so they did know. They knew the guys in Journey. Okay.
Yes.
This wasn't that she went to a concert, you know, she showed her boobs or something. He called her backstage, and the next thing you know, they're together. They actually were friends.
Yeah. They had hung out, all four of them. I think Neal had a woman, either a wife or a girlfriend, and the four of them had gone out quite a bit together, and they were together for these charity events. And then apparently some love blossomed between Mikhaila and Neal, and now it's all over.
Now, the topic that's on the table right now is you put yourself in the husband, in Tariq's shoes, and you find out basically from TMZ.com that your wife has left you for another man. The topic we're going to discuss is the way you found out that you guys were broken up. It wasn't face-to-face. It wasn't even a phone call. It wasn't even a text. It was you found out some other way from somebody else. Bad surprise. As an aside, not completely relevant to the topic, but is this also true? Producer Alex reminds me that this this Neal Schon from Journey married a woman, a Playboy playmate, 2 months ago.
What?
In Paris with all of the band members from Journey present. He married her 2 months ago. Wow. Now he's shacked up with this fame whore. What's that? What's going on there?
Look, obviously, when it comes to romance, you just don't stop believing, you know? You just think you're going to get swept away. I guess that's what happens with a guy like that.
But you got to look at poor Tariq Salahi. I mean, don't you ever think, I mean, who's crying now? I mean, come on, Ralph.
I do, because when the lights go out in the city, this guy is all alone. That's all I'm saying. He's all by himself.
But isn't this sort of shenanigans, this romance, this playground stuff, isn't this for only the young? I mean, come on.
I have no more tape.
Look, Bean, the wheel of the sky keeps on turning. And that's just how life keeps rolling along. You have to roll with the punches and just keep going.
Okay, but what happened to the wedding vows where you agree you're going to stay together faithfully? Where's that? Do you ever think about that?
I don't know.
All right, let's stop that nonsense right now. So how did you find out you were broken up? That's the topic, 1-800-520-1067. You guys remember the story. I've told the story many times before about the girl that I was dating, and I thought fairly seriously, and I showed up at where she worked one day, and I said, "Hey, I haven't seen her in a few days. What's going on?" And they told me that she had moved to Brazil to become a nanny. Remember? Yeah, and that was the first night I heard about it.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
It had never been mentioned to me, so that's a perfect example. Our dear friend Kevin, you remember him before he passed away. Mm-hmm. He used to tell a story on the show about some friends of his. I guess he was friends with the guy. I can't remember. It was one of the two in the couple who confided in him that that he or she was thinking of divorcing. And the next time he saw the spouse, he said, "Wow, I'm really really sorry. Sorry to hear about you guys breaking up." And the other person was like, "What are you talking about?"
The person had
confided to Kevin that he or she was thinking of breaking up, hadn't necessarily brought it up to the husband or wife at that point. So that's how that person found out that there was trouble in paradise.
Although I think hearing from Harvey Levin still is the worst. That's the worst we heard so far. That's bad.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. So 1-800-520-1067. You logged on to your significant other's Facebook page and all of a sudden you noticed they were single. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can find out you are no longer in a relationship. We want to hear from you. We will revel in in your pain when we return right after this on the Kevin. Drumming accompaniment by Ralph Garman on Nirvana. Much improving the original, I think, on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KRQ. It is 724. Hey, we're taking your calls on ways you found out that you were now a single man or a woman. You didn't hear it from your significant other. You found out from somebody else or electronically or in the case of this Salahi story through TMZ.com. 1-800-520-1067 is our telephone number. Let's get going with Haley. How about that? Haley's on line 4, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for hanging on. What's going on?
Hi. So a while ago, I was with this guy for about a year. I happened to be talking to one of our mutual friends, and she brought up the fact that she had seen him with someone else. You know, they're the cutest couple. They've been together for a couple months.
Oh, my God.
Like, wait a second. No, I'm his girlfriend. And he's like, really? I thought you guys broke up a couple months ago. He's been telling everyone you guys broke up like 4 months ago. I was like, oh, no, we just celebrated our anniversary. Thanks, though.
He forgot to tell you that you broke up.
Yeah. So did you call him, and did he have a lot of explaining to do?
Not really. I kind of just, like, bumped into them as a couple and was just kind of like, hi, thanks for telling me. Good luck with your relationship. By the way, he likes women's underwear and just kind of left.
Oh, hell.
That is terrible.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, this reminds me, thank you very much for the call, Haley, appreciate it. This reminds me, a few weeks ago we were talking about that topic about people who got married when they were dating somebody else. That's how some people found out that they were broken up with. Remember the one girl who called from the steps of the courthouse? She was on her way to get married. She called her boyfriend to let him know. That's how he found out. But at least he heard it from her. These stories are you're hearing it from somebody else. Let's try Danny next, line 5, 1-800-520-1067 is the toll-free number to get right to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Danny, welcome to the show. What's happening?
Yeah, hi. I met a girl, this is a couple years ago, I met a girl at a club one time, college night, Asian girl, really cute, really nice girl. I asked her out to dance, we danced, get the number. A couple days later, we go out, she invites me to her very nice house up in Corona Hills. She invites me inside her house, sits me down on the couch, puts my leg up on the foot, rest and all that stuff, serves me a drink. We go out to eat and all that good stuff.
Could you give us more details about the date, please?
I want to know what kind of footrest was it? What kind of footrest was it that she put your feet up on?
I'm giving you the premise because it's really scandalous the way she did it.
Hold on a sec, Danny. Where exactly in the Hollywood Hills was it? Could you give me some turn-by-turn directions on how to get there?
I said Corona Hills.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Come on.
My point is that none of these details matter unless you bring it home in a way that surprises us.
Okay. So then we're supposed to go see a movie,
What movie was it?
This whole time she thinks that I'm Asian, right? So she asked me, what movie did you want to see? And I say, I want to see El Matador with Pierce Brosnan because I've never seen him outside of his...
What's the point of this story?
Wow. Who else was in there? That was Greg Kinnear, right?
I'm not sure. I know Pierce it was in it. When I pronounced El Matador, her friend and her, they both looked at me and they were like, wow, you really pronounced that really well. And I said, well, sure, why wouldn't I? I'm Mexican. And they both looked at each other and their jaws just dropped. And then we had made plans prior to that conversation. We had made plans to go out for Valentine's Day weekend.
Valentine's, of course.
She should have known right then you were Latino when you said Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a Mexican holiday very similar to the Americans' Valentine's Day.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. So, well, because we have Santa, so it's plural.
Okay.
So then,
exciting story.
So then they both, you know, they looked at each other, blah blah blah, and then we're
all right, Danny. Let me stop you, right, buddy? Let me stop you. Let me stop you. Is this story actually? Does it go like this? Yeah, I found out on MySpace that we broke up because she thought I was Asian and I was actually Mexican. Is that really the story that you're trying to lead up to?
No, all right. I called her. I kept calling her.
Right. Oh, my God.
Her sister calls him back and says, oh, no.
Younger or older sister?
She said that her blood pressure dropped because she was slightly bulimic or something like that. And I was like, are you serious? So
okay.
Then I lost that.
Listen, Chino, I got to break this to you.
Her status changed from single to in a relationship.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Here's the situation. We have no other calls, and yet we're still going to hang up on you because we just can't take it any longer. We can't even use you to kill time. You're killing us.
She Although made the right decision.
I enjoyed it very much, Danny, and I'm glad you called. Just don't ever do it again. Thank you very much. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, a huge week. Lisa, you're going to be very excited by some of the names of people who are coming on our show this week.
Yes.
First of all, the beautiful Zooey Deschanel is going to be here tomorrow.
She's awesome.
Also, the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski is going to be here tomorrow, too.
Wow.
Come on with the come on. Yeah. Jason O'Mara, who's in that new Terra Nova show, is going to be on. He, of course, was Life on Mars guy. Adam Carolla. Charlie Hunnam. I know he's your man crush beer mug from Sons of Anarchy. He's going to be in on Wednesday. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel. We got Steve-O stopping by. Taylor Lautner on the show this week.
Hello.
How about a little actor? I'm unfamiliar with his work. He's in that new baseball movie. His name is Brad Pete. I think is his name.
Shut up.
Apparently he's up and coming. So we'll talk to all those people this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we take you to Moscow, I want to say. Wait, Moscow is where the story is from, but the guy is in Sweden. Looks like we're taking you to Sweden is where I want to say.
Okay.
50-year-old man will be tried in Sweden for singing serenades under the balcony of his former girlfriend. Apparently he was arrested after he was singing Bob Dylan songs with a guitar trying to win back his girlfriend. It sounds a little bit creepy, though, because he also had five men in hooded robes with him as backup vocals. The woman got scared and called the police. Apparently it had been one of those deals where he was trying real hard to get back with her and there was already a restraining order against him. He wasn't supposed to be coming to her. There was harassment involved. So he thought, hey, I know that I'm legally not allowed to get within a certain number of feet, but I'm going to show up with a bunch of guys in hoods and serenade you from outside in your front yard. So that didn't go over very well, but what an honor it must be if you're Bob Dylan, who joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show, to have your songs be part of this beautiful love story. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I love, and I wish that she gave me a chance.
You would like who to give what a chance?
That bitch.
Oh, yeah, that girl. Yeah. In other words, rather than having him arrested, go ahead and give in to him since he's singing beautiful love songs.
Singing Bob Dylan love songs. And this young, turn and call the cops, is standing on her. Oh, what a bitch.
Bob, you've written songs about all kinds of things over your 50-year career. You've written political songs and songs about social injustice and a fair amount of love songs as well, right?
Yeah, I love. And the Happy Time Lemonade Hour podcast. And those do all love songs.
Bob Dylan Theme Time Radio Hour, I think, is your satellite show that you're referring to.
Yeah. This week, it's all about love. And here's the number one.
Bob. Why do you sing along with the songs when you play?
It's Happy Time Lemonade Hour.
Right, but you don't really make any of those songs better when you sing along, is what I guess I'm saying.
Country Time Tater Tot Hour.
theme Time Radio Hour, right?
Look at my heart and in love. He was
Is this just an excuse for you to play Captain and Tennille records? Because I don't get it for any other reason. Okay, Bob, if you don't know the words to the Meatloaf song, why are you singing it? Oh, you are singing the words. I see. Well, that's enthusiastic. I think maybe. Okay, what's happening now?
Lucy.
I think maybe Bob should be arrested at this point.
This is terrible.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine, Bob. Okay. We got it. Love stinks. We got it. Bob. Seriously. We got it. Bob. Are you all right?
Love
stinks. Miss K-Rock 106.7 KOW, KROQ at 749. Thanks for joining us. Got a bunch of audio from last night's Emmys last night. Woo! If you didn't see it, didn't stay up for the whole thing. We got that on the way. And Ralph is here to talk Emmy winners and losers as well as everything else going on the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
While we're talking about winners and losers, winner at the box office this weekend was The Lion King. Hakuna Matata indeed, mother effers. In 3D, it was re-released this weekend, $29.3 million.
And that's just money, just bonus money for Disney. Bonus. I mean, it cost them the money to convert it to 3D, of course, but I don't know what the process, how expensive that process is for animation.
$19.95, it turns out. They did it at Earl Scheib's House of 3D.
And they're just making millions and millions of dollars off of that decision.
I'll
well
convert
done,
any movie you have for just $19.99. Earl Scheib.
Contagion was number two at the box office, $14.5 million. Drive, in its debut, made just $11 million. That was number three. The Help came in at number four. Straw Dogs, in its debut, made $5 million, made it number five. I don't know how she does it. Sarah Jessica Parker was rejected by moviegoers this weekend. Made $4.5 million on a bunch of screens. Came in at number
what
six.
What looked worse than that movie when you saw the trailer? Seriously.
I don't know, Lisa. You tell me.
I haven't seen it yet, but
what?
I do plan to.
Well,
oh, you this... don't.
I do.
Oh, yeah. You missed it last week. She
totally
was very excited about it.
I am.
Lisa, you care what critics think about whether a movie is good or bad. This one is, by all accounts, horrible.
Lisa doesn't care.
It's right up my alley.
Lisa doesn't care.
Oh, my God. But wouldn't you rather see a good movie out of your genre than a horrible movie in your genre?
I've seen lots of good movies lately, but now it's time to see that movie.
I don't get that.
The Debt was Seventh Warrior, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Columbiana was the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Winners at the Academy, nope, the Emmy Awards last night. It would be cool if the Academy Awards were last night. That would have been awesome. But it was, in fact, the Emmy Awards. Here's who walked away with an award last night. Best actress in a drama was Juliana Margulies. Did very well for herself.
What did she mean last night when she came on and said that she was the undisputed queen of television comedy? Was she making a joke about the fact that she only plays serious roles?
Yes.
And okay. Never smiles.
Never smiles.
Gotcha.
Constantly crying. She just is constant drama on all of her work.
Oh,
even on ER was that way. So
in retrospect, then, that was a funny line.
Oh, so you let her off the hook now?
Now I get it.
Best actor in a drama was Kyle Chandler for Friday Night Lights. Best actor in a comedy, Jim Parsons won for Big Bang Theory. Actress in that same category was Melissa McCarthy. Best supporting actor in a drama, Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. Best supporting actress in a drama was Margot Martindale from Justified. She was horrifying on that show and well-deserved, I think. A big surprise, though, to me, for her to win that award. Best supporting actor and actress in a comedy went to a couple members of the cast of Modern Family, Ty Burrell and Julie Bowen. How would you pick a leading actor from that show, though? I was thinking that when they won Best Supporting Actor, there's no real leads there.
No. They're all equal.
It's an ensemble show, so I can't imagine how they could be considered supporting, but I guess that's the way it shakes down.
And I love Julie Bowen. I think she's terrific on that show. And if it weren't for Sofia Vergara, she'd be really, really the hottest chick on that show.
Yeah.
But she needs to gain some weight, right?
Yeah.
Did you see her last night? It was scary how thin she
she's
is.
She's skeletal. It's a little creepy. While we're talking about the Emmys, you notice Alec Baldwin wasn't there.
Oh, right.
Along with his 30 Rock co-workers. He was supposed to be in the opening number, that big sketch number about all those shows that live together in the same apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked. They filmed a sequence where he played the head of show business, basically. And there was a joke in that sequence about News Corp tapping people's phones.
Right.
But, of course, it's on Fox, which Rupert Murdoch also owns. They pulled the joke. They cut it out of the sketch.
Oh.
And Baldwin heard about it and said, well, then you're not using me. I'm walking completely. So
I kind of respect that.
He pulled himself out of it, and they had to reshoot the sequence with Leonard Nimoy playing the role. So that's why you didn't see Alec Baldwin last night. He was cheesed off that what he thought was the funniest line in the sketch was cut because of political correctness because they're owned by the same company.
Interesting.
Yeah. He wrote in a tweet, by the way, Fox did kill my News Corp hacking joke, which sucks because I think it would have made them look better a little. So he took a little parting shot there.
The show was on Fox last night. They didn't win a single Emmy all night long.
Really?
Yeah. They were nominated for Glee and some other shows, too, but they didn't win anything.
Huh. That's embarrassing. HBO did pretty well for itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And PBS.
PBS as well, yeah. Heidi Klum is the most dangerous woman on the internet.
How so?
Apparently, if you search for her name, it is the biggest chance of downloading a virus is downloading something that her name comes up in a search engine for.
It's an interesting choice, Heidi Klum.
I thought so, too. Apparently, a lot of people must be looking for her. McAfee, the internet security firm, says that while searching for screensavers or photos of models like Heidi Klum, you have a 1 in 10 chance of landing on a site where viruses, spyware, spam, and more can infect your computer.
Wow.
And Heidi Klum apparently is the biggest perpetrator of those.
That is a such... I would have automatically assumed it was Kim Kardashian.
No. Second on the spot was Cameron Diaz. Third most dangerous name to search for on the internet, Piers Morgan.
It's true.
It's just odd.
It's random. Jessica Biel was fourth, and then Katherine Heigl was fifth.
That's bizarre.
You download Katherine Heigl's name, apparently, on your computer, you get a bitch virus, and you don't want that, because then your computer gets all cranky and doesn't like you. It's bad. Kira Lindsay Lohan threw a drink through a glass at a photographer the end of last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about this story.
She's back.
She was at a party for V Magazine, and she was there drinking their free booze, and a photographer for V Magazine, at a distance, started snapping her photo, which she went then ballistic and threw a drink at him, a heavy glass and drink, just chucked it. She has bad aim because it missed the photographer and hit a cocktail waitress.
Aww.
Yeah. So Lindsay apparently back in rare form.
Wow.
I know that she's clueless. I get that she doesn't have any understanding of what she's doing with her life anymore. But if I'm Lindsay Lohan at this point, I'm not going to any cocktail parties for magazine openings for free drinks. I'm just not. It's just something I don't do anymore until I get back on track and start working.
Lindsay cannot resist free drinks.
No, she cannot.
I don't know that.
And being at the scene, whatever the scene is, I mean, she still has to ingratiate herself into that world. And that world is starting to reject her, however. The New York Post, it's Us Luka Magazine, says that Mary-Kate Olsen and Dakota Fanning both went out of their way to move every time Lindsay would sit down next to them and start a conversation. She was pretty much shunned by everyone at the party during the course of it, except for Courtney Love, apparently.
Oh, well, there you go.
Who would buddy up with her. That makes perfect sense, because they are one of a kind. Or two of a kind, I guess.
Yeah.
And this is bad news. The No Doubt album has now been pushed back.
Oh, come on!
Release of the long-awaited new album will have to wait until next year, the band says.
Oh my God, do that again.
The band posted on its official website that they're just not ready yet, and they want to deliver the best album they can possibly make, and there's more work to do, so we're going to have to wait until 2012.
What?
To hear any new...
Does that hurt?
That's not even him. That
I
can't be.
That.
It kind of sounds
no,
like
no,
it.
It's not me.
No.
It's not me.
Oh, that's funny.
Till we get new No Doubt music, so... Last No Doubt album. Anyone want to take a guess when the year, the last time we heard a new No Doubt album?
I know Kennedy was president. I do know that.
That's
I
right.
That.
Bay of Pigs, it just happened.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to be 6 or 7 years.
2001 was the last No Doubt
album. Oh, no! Are you kidding me? Over 10 years?
Rocksteady. What? Rocksteady in 2001 was the last No Doubt album.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. I know they had a couple of songs on their greatest hits, I guess, including that It's My Life. So at least we have had a song. But for an album, it's been 10 years. That's insane.
Craziness. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Danielle Panabaker is 24 years old today. Victoria Silvstedt, former Playmate of the Year, is 37 years old. Jimmy Fallon, talk show host, turns 37 as well. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live is 49. Jeremy Irons, one of my favorite actors, is 63. And my favorite actor of all time, TV's Batman, Adam West, is 83 years old today. Happy birthday, old chum. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'll never forget Omar's interview as long as I live. You
best.
Can play it every time we play that song.
Best interview.
Best. So good.
Everlast on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It's 8:06. Hey, the gang's all here. Lisa May in studio along with Ralph Garman. Producer Alex is here along with, beer mug. Talking about
the mugs.
Talking about the Emmys last night. Ralph's been doing a great job of keeping us updated on winners and losers from the show last night. We haven't talked too much about the actual program itself. From an entertainment standpoint, I'd like to hear from you guys. Lisa, I know you haven't seen it yet. You got that planned for today. What'd you guys think of Jane Lynch's performance? Alex, let me start with you.
I thought she did a great job. I think she tried to run the line between providing some comedy but keeping the show moving and keeping some sort of flow. Mm-hmm. So I liked her.
Ralph, you?
I think she was fine. I think they were working against her when it came to keeping the show moving, however, with a lot of sketches and taped pieces and musical numbers, and I didn't need the singing chorus introducing everybody.
I like that.
And I said, okay.
All enough. Right.
I thought that was enough. Cute.
I wasn't going to start there, but let's start with the Emmy tones. I couldn't agree with Ralph more on this. The first time they did it, I thought, wow, is that a bust? Please tell me they're not going to continue to do that throughout the entire show, and they did. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember who all was in the Emmy tones, this singing group?
It was Mikhail.
Yep.
It was Chuck, Zachary Levi.
Right.
You had...
Wilmer Valderrama.
My buddy Kate Flannery from The Office was in there.
Colby Smulders was in there.
Taraji P. Henson.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So they're all singing it. Well done to Dave, everybody.
Very
wow.
Good.
And they're doing little songs about the categories and the Emmys like this.
Variety, reality. We used to do them separately, but we lumped them together tonight, so we wouldn't run long.
Now, it's hard for me to read how it plays in the room, but it was just television death every time they were on. I couldn't wait for them to get off.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's exaggerated. I liked when LL Cool J came out and started rapping and they all got confused. I thought that was funny.
Somebody needed to do something to save that segment. Thank God LL Cool J came out. Plenty of musical numbers. It seems like you can't have an awards show anymore without some sort of a big production piece. And I guess they did something similar to the way Billy Crystal used to insert himself in all the Oscar-nominated movies. They had Jane Lynch going through this imaginary apartment complex where she was stopping by, and every complex was a different television show. And here's when she stopped by the set of Mad Men.
Excuse me, sweetheart, can you give me some coffee?
Oh, you're hilarious. I'm not a secretary. I'm the host of the Emmys.
The Emmys? What you should be doing is learning how to type and firing the guy who gave you that man's haircut.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot has changed since 1965. In fact, women can marry other women.
Does that mean women don't have to sleep with men anymore to make it to the top?
No, you still have to do that.
I thought that was pretty
it was awesome.
Pretty funny. And it was kind of neat because everybody's celebrating television that night. It was kind of neat to see these sketches that went across all networks, because very rarely do you get to see the guys from The Office interacting with the guys from, you know, from a show that's on maybe on Fox or on ABC.
Right.
And I definitely enjoyed that. Jimmy Fallon came out. He was the host last year, if I recall correctly, with our friend Jimmy Kimmel. And I thought they had a pretty interesting sketch idea that involved them ending up wrestling on the stage in their tuxedos.
We know Jon Stewart's going to win, so...
Yeah, obviously. But you still wrote a speech, right?
No, I didn't. I knew Daily Show was going to win, so I didn't...
You wrote nothing down?
No.
Yeah.
Yep, I didn't make it.
I find that interesting. Why are you holding your pocket?
I'm not...
Is there anything? Can I see you?
No, I don't have anything.
There's nothing
in there? Let's just
introduce... Because I just would love to... I'd just love to see if there's anything in the pocket.
Don't be weird.
And then they're wrestling on the stage together. Mm-hmm. I thought they were very funny. I'd love to see those two hosting the Emmys, by the way.
That would be great.
That was my favorite skit of the night. I thought that was so funny. And then they come back and they're like, like breathing in the mic and their ties are all askew. I thought that was really cute.
And speaking of Jimmy, by the way, I was so pleased to see Uncle Frank made the In Memoriam.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
The segment where they show you the people that we lost in Hollywood in this past year, and there was Uncle Frank right up there from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. A couple people noticed, you know, every year the sport, Ralph, is who did they leave out of the In Memoriam segment? And a couple of people this year said, hey, what about Jeff Conaway? What about Taxi's Jeff Conaway?
God, yeah.
That's a good point.
And Charlie Sheen. What happened to Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, exactly. At least his career. Charlie Sheen, by the way, we talked about this much earlier today. What a bizarre moment. What a wasted opportunity to have Charlie Sheen, easily the biggest story of the past television year, with the way his career imploded and he lost 2.5 men and they recast and it's going on without him and he's a pariah in Hollywood. They invite him to the show, which was weird to me last night. He came out and I was really prepared for some comedy and I think he wasted it. Let's hear what he said.
Before I present outstanding lead actor in a comedy series, my old category, I want to take a moment to get something off my chest and say a few words to everybody here from 2.5 Men.
Now, weren't you guys thinking he was going to do some sort of hilarious winning sketch or something?
I didn't think it was going to be hilarious, but I was hoping it would be at least controversial.
Something. Like, isn't this the biggest setup for a comedy payback in history?
Right. You're waiting for the soundbite that's going to be everywhere and in all the headlines.
Right. Can I have my job back or something? And not this.
From the bottom of my heart, I wish you nothing but the best for this upcoming season. We spent 8 wonderful years together, and I know you will continue to make great television.
What's more boring than that?
And who cares, by the way? Who cares what he thinks or what he wishes for that show? They've left him behind. They fired his ass. No one's waiting to get his blessings on the new season of Two and a Half Men. They don't need your blessing. They've moved on. It was self-serving and pathetic and a desperate attempt, I think, to try to rehabilitate his image in front of his peers.
And why does the Emmys care about rehabilitating his image? Why would they even give him that spotlight to come on and do that?
I don't think they care about rehabilitating his image. I think they were hoping he would do something wacky and it would get them press. And I think they were hoping on the off chance that John Cryer won, there'd be that moment where he'd have to get up and Charlie Sheen would have to hand him the award. I think they were hoping this maybe manufacture some sort of drama.
It was just weird. And like I said, just what a wasted opportunity that was. I didn't get that at all. The happiest surprise for me in last night's 63rd annual Emmy broadcast.
Oh, I know.
Of course.
I know.
You're wrong this time. Although, because I wasn't talking about winners and losers so much this time, but yeah, the fact that Coach Taylor got his.
Thank God,
Kyle Chandler, who's one of the great, great actors on television. I was so happy to see him win.
But in terms of
a showbiz moment, I was so happy to see the tribute to the Lonely Island last night.
Yeah, it was fun.
I thought that was hilarious. Now, this is Adam Sandberg and his comedy guys over there at Saturday Night Live. They do these musical numbers and they almost all go viral. And they got the I Just Had Sex was one and the Michael Bolton Pirates of the Caribbean one. And they did a 3-song medley on the Emmys last night, which I don't know. I mean, a lot of people always accuse these award shows of being boring and for old folks. I thought that was a nice nod to something that is actually contemporary and interesting that you don't get to see in prime time very often.
Yes, I agree.
That's why I was happy. And at one point, the guys are down there and they are freaking on William H. Macy. They are just thrusting their junk right in his face on the Emmys. And I thought this was a hilarious moment.
Emmys, get ready. If you're feeling racy, freak Bill Macy, go. Freak Bill Macy, freak Bill Macy, freak Bill Macy, freak Bill Macy, USA, USA, USA. USA.
I don't know what it means, but it cracked me up. I thought it was very, very funny.
You know, I thought the hideous attempt to be current and hip was that endless sketch that Jane Lynch did where she was from New Jersey and she was pulling all the strings was able to get all the TV shows from New Jersey on. And they had the cast of Jersey Shore on there and Big Pussy from Sopranos was on there. It was horribly, poorly written and just endless.
That skit should have ended when he pointed at Jane Lynch and said, you know, she's the original Big Pussy. Okay, we're out. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you see why they did it, because there are a lot of shows based in New Jersey right now. It was a little thin for a premise, and it was not very well done. I agree with you. I thought Jon Stewart had a great line.
Thank you very much. I think I speak for everybody here when I say if the world does need to repopulate at some point, the announcing team of Sofia Vergara and Rob Lowe, I think, would make very pleasant children.
Yes. Weren't we all thinking the same thing as how are those two not making babies together? And one more clip from last night, because the guy who has spoiled all other awards shows for me is Ricky Gervais, because he's so brilliant and did such a great job in the Golden Globes that I want him to host every award show. Every year, every award show, I want Ricky Gervais on the stage. He's the best. And he sent in what I thought was a very funny taped piece from England, and here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
Sorry, I can't be there live in person. Not allowed. Not after the Golden Globes. In fact, now, during any award ceremony, I'm not even allowed on American soil. This is pre-recorded. And the Emmy bosses have warned me if I say anything rude or controversial, they will edit it out. And you won't know the difference. What a bunch of cowardly countrymen, like Simon Cowell and Piers Morgan. We're proud of you. I've won a few Emmys myself. I've lost a few, too. I was up for 5 last year, and I lost them all to other shows that, in my opinion, were absolute Schindler's List.
That was really funny when you could see the tape jump, you know, the way they did the end. It was a little bit more of a visual gag, but very, very funny. any other highlights or lowlights we ought to mention as we're just wrapping up kind of the coverage of last night's Emmys? Overall, I thought it was an okay show, but I still don't care about directors. I'm sorry. I don't. And they get up there and their speeches are boring.
It's fine.
And there's too many people reading goddamn lists of names I don't care about.
You can't suck the industry out of an award show for the industry. You just can't do it. It's not allowed.
Make it an entertaining television show.
Wrong.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, it's their award show. We just get to eavesdrop. And I think they should give those awards out to the writers and the directors and the people who make good television.
I know that Hollywood loves itself so much that will never change. They will never give that up.
Those shows don't exist. Your stars don't exist without the people who write and direct those shows. Friday Night Lights, your beloved show, doesn't exist. Kyle Chandler doesn't get up there without the people who won for writing and directing.
I'm not saying don't give them Emmys. Give them to them the weekend before with the Creative Arts Emmys like you give most of the awards.
How about the miniseries? Just send that stuff over there.
No, because then we don't get to see Kate Winslet's boobs then. That's what the highlight of the show for me. Those cans looked awesome.
And you don't get to see Peter Dinklage thank the guy who's looking after his dog.
That's right, his dog.
His dog's that are named Kitty, which was great, by the way.
Yes. And by the way, he has to have a really tidy dog, right? I mean, he's got to have like a chihuahua or something,
oddly,
right?
No, it's a Great Dane that he rides to work every morning.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll check in with TMZ.com, our friend Dex, over there in the newsroom in just a few minutes. First, though, we go back to Las Vegas this Saturday night, a stunning, dramatic, bizarre finish to a welterweight boxing match. If you haven't heard about it yet, Floyd Mayweather was in there against Victor Ortiz. And Victor Ortiz headbutts Floyd Mayweather and then goes to apologize. And they basically hug and they apologize. And then the ref calls the fight to go back on. And Victor Ortiz wants to apologize again just to say, hey, we cool. I'm mad at myself. I lost control. I'm sorry that I headbutted you. Let's box. Before he gets a chance to do any of that, Mayweather just lays him out, just knocks him down, just ends the fight in the fourth round like that. Now, he had already been winning the fight, but Victor Ortiz had been coming back a little bit in that fourth round, and it was looking like it was going to turn into a pretty good match. But it didn't work out that way, and a lot of people are saying, look, legally, officially, yeah, maybe Mayweather was allowed to start boxing, but it was pretty obvious that his opponent was not set up yet and ready to fight. Very controversial fight the way it ended, and made even more so by the post-fight interview. We have a little bit of audio from Floyd Mayweather, and he is talking to Larry Merchant, who does all of the fights there in Las Vegas, and you'll see it on HBO this weekend, who Kevin's not here today, but he always makes fun of Larry Merchant because he's a million years old and is the slowest talking man in broadcasting. Oh. But here's a little bit about how that volatile exchange he had with Floyd Mayweather.
You were in charge of the fight. You were aggressive and trying and taking advantage of what
you know. You know what I'm gonna do, because you don't ever give me a fair shake. You know that? So I'm gonna let you talk to Victor Ortiz, all right? I'm through. They put somebody else up and give me an interview. You never give me a fair shake. HBO needs to fire you. You don't know about boxing. You ain't I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass. You gonna do that?
I love that so much.
Unbelievable.
And it doesn't make any sense because Larry Merchant was giving him a fair shake. He was just very matter-of-factly talking about what was happening in the fight. He wasn't condemning him. Many others were. He was not.
Yeah.
It just didn't make... And how do you say to Larry Merchant, you don't know anything about boxing? The guy's been in boxing since long before Mayweather was born. But we wanted to find out about what really happened from a man who was there. Larry Merchant himself, one of the greatest boxing announcers in history, was in the ring Saturday night in Las Vegas and joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Merchant.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Okay, you actually, if you could, sir, just pick up the pace just a little bit. I know you can do that on HBO, but we're on a little tighter schedule, if you don't mind.
My apologies to you.
Okay, I thought there might be more. All right, so what about this? It was clearly, I mean, a lot of people are saying it was a cheap shot, it was dirty tricks. Floyd Mayweather did not deserve to win in a fashion like that. I thought you were being fair with him in the post-fight interview. What about the way he came at you and said you never give him a fair shake? What's going on?
Floyd Mayweather Jr.
right.
Is pound for pound.
One of the best fighters in the world and?
One of the best
fighters in the world. In the world.
In the world.
Okay, you can just skip to the next part.
However.
Okay.
I believe and some others may not, that he,
yes,
unlike others,
okay, what, he what?
May be one.
Larry, come on. What's the point?
Of the most polarizing
figures in the sport. In the sport.
In?
In this, oh, this sport.
However,
come on.
His antics.
Yes.
Out of the ring.
Uh-huh.
And the legacy. His family.
Right. I thought we lost you. I thought you either fell asleep or died.
In boxing.
Uh-huh.
Is.
As a stain on the on boxing.
Without a doubt. A stain.
A stain on boxing. Okay. On. That's fine.
Boxing.
Okay. All right. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to ask one more question, Larry. And that is, do you feel, knowing the animosity boxing fans have toward Mayweather, do you feel he should get a rematch with Victor Ortiz? Do you feel he should get a fight with Manny Pacquiao, as many have asked for?
I feel, as many others do,
mm-hmm.
that Floyd... Mayweather.
Mayweather. We know who we're talking about. Floyd Mayweather Jr., right?
Jr.
Oh. Right.
Has no choice but...
Two. Yes.
Finally.
Face Manny Pacquiao.
Face.
Manny Pacquiao.
A fighter.
Yes.
Who many believe...
right.
...is also one...
Of the greatest... Of the greatest... Fighters in the sport?
The
okay.
Greatest.
We're actually out of time, Larry. We really do have to go.
If I was 50 years younger, I'd kick your ass.
The legendary Jane's Addiction back in 1989 had a stand of shows at the John Anson Ford Theater, and they are coming back. Jane's Addiction, October 3rd and 4th at the John Anson Ford Theater. This is brand new information to you here on K-Rock today. Tickets are on sale this Saturday, September 24th at 10 a.m. Get details at krock.com or janesaddiction.com. Great stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, so world famous K-Rock at 8:41. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Monday means we catch up with our friends over at TMZ.com. Dax Holt in for Harvey Levin on the phone with us today. Hey, Dax, how are you, man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Let's start with what everybody in the world is talking about today, and that is your dog bit your nipple last night. What happened? I got to stop following you on Twitter. I have to stop following you. It's cringy.
Embarrassing. Yeah, my dog like walked up to me as I was sitting in a chair and just bit my nipple out of nowhere.
What the heck are you doing,
you stupid dog? Just bit my nipple.
And I love how you clarify to your Twitter followers, your tens of thousands of Twitter followers, not that you're into that sort of thing, but it did kind of happen.
You know how many people responded back with some sort of a reference to peanut butter? I was like, no.
Yeah.
Not how I roll, folks.
It was not on purpose. All right. In all seriousness, every once in a while, because you guys are out in front of so many stories, you find yourself in the middle of stories, as you have with this Salahi apparent divorce that's going to happen. Walk people through what happened when the story broke a few days ago and how it's continued to get even more bizarre, Dax.
Well, a few days ago, I thought for sure this was a publicity stunt. You know, she went missing, so Tariq, her husband, started calling the cops saying, look, my wife is gone. Come to find out she had run away with Neil Sean from Journey, who is...
Now, let me interrupt you 1 second just to remind people, if they don't recognize the Salahi names, these were the famous White House party crashers. She went on to become the Real Housewife of D.C. for a while. She mm-hmm. got kicked off of Celebrity Rehab because she was just there for the publicity. She didn't really have an addiction of any kind. So they are fame whores. In particular, she is, and that's why you thought, well, the whole reason this thing is happening at all is because they're trying to figure out a way to stay in the headlines, right?
Well, they're basically just an older version of Heidi and Spencer. So you kind of just go, oh, okay, whatever they're doing it for publicity. And I thought, okay, this will just be another one of their publicity stunts. Well, after her husband's calling the cops saying she's missing, come to find out she just ran away with another man. And that's Neil Sean from Journey. And she's off on tour with him now. Left, didn't take any of her stuff. And she is now just touring around with the band. We'll come to find out. Neil, the guy she's hooking up with, he's also married. He's been married for 2 weeks. He got married for two months. Over in Paris with his wife. And she's in the same boat. Had no idea. Suddenly her husband runs away with this other woman. And she's left there just going, what just happened?
Look, both of these are so bizarre. Who runs away with the guy from Journey in the first place? But who runs away for the guy from Journey and doesn't tell her husband, leading him to believe that she's been kidnapped? And then who also runs away with this fame whore when you're a freaking Playboy playmate and you've only been married for 2 months? This just, none of this makes sense.
Yeah, but you know what? This is going to come back to bite her in the butt, because there was a prenup involved between Mikhail and Tariq, and it says if there is any kind of infidelity or anything like that, she's not going to get a lot of the money that they accumulated during their 8-year marriage. She doesn't get a lot of the property. If she leaves the house, that means she's not allowed to get spousal support. So it's like if she's not in for the long haul with this Neil dude, then she's not going to have any money to come home to.
Wow, so she's just basically throwing away everything she's had at this point.
Pretty much.
That's amazing. Now, you posted a tragic update, and I was sad to see this, and it really makes me concerned what these people are willing to do for fame. But we talked earlier today about how the husband, Tariq, said that their dog, that I guess was mostly Mikayla's dog, was heartbroken that she had left. And now you are posting on TMZ.com that the dog has actually died?
What?
Yeah, well, there was a video that was shot the day before she left, and it was her snuggling in bed with this little Doberman Pinscher, and I guess it had heart problems, wasn't doing so hot, and she's snuggling with it while she leaves, and the dog went into severe depression and then ended up passing away.
That's unbelievable. Have you ever heard, have you heard of a dog that dies of a broken heart?
Hadn't heard of it before, but apparently this is what's going on.
Aww. These people are so sketchy to me that I'm doing everything I can to not think the worst possible thought, which is somehow this is all part of the game. You know what I mean? Like, let's kill the dog so my side looks stronger or something. You know what I mean?
God, you know what? This one to me doesn't feel like it's all set up. This one feels legit story. It's just too crazy to be something they've made up.
Yeah, it is bizarre. And is it true, is the timeline right, Dax, that he, Tariq, found out that she was with Neil Sean from Journey from TMZ.com?
Well, the problem is they've all been friends for years. So they would go and hang out at Journey concerts, him and his wife, and Journey would come to their winery and hang out for a couple of days. And so it's your best bud stabbing you in the back, taking away your wife.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Well, you are covering that, of course, every detail along the way at TMZ.com. Have you talked to Mikayla at all? Has she made a comment?
No, she's just enjoying the trip right now. We got a bunch of photos of her at the Journey concerts, kind of on stage or back out by the tour buses. But she's just enjoying life right now.
I just can't believe, as much as she loves the camera, that she's not calling you guys with updates every few minutes or sending you photos. I mean, really, like, why isn't she in the newsroom at 1:30 today answering questions? It's just crazy.
Think we have her on speed dial right now.
Right. All right. You can see all that, plus a very gross story I won't bring up with Christina Milian. That's on the site right now. Jennifer Aniston, and, of course, a bunch of photos from last night's Emmys, too. TMZ.com, and, of course, TMZ Television. Check your local listings. And When in Hollywood, take the TMZ tour as well. Dax, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Have a great one.
The always hilarious Tyler Labine joins us after the top of the hour here on the
Love Kevin Tyler Adrian. Labine.
He's got a new movie coming out. Actually got a couple of new movies coming out, both of which sound great. Yeah. But we'll talk about that on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, that means we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and see who did well and who did... Well, Sarah Jessica Parker. Let's just put it that way. Lion King 3D in its re-release was number one at the box office, as predicted by all the industry experts. Made almost $30 million, good enough to make it number one at the box office.
It was kind of a time warp last night. There were several Lion King references during the Emmys, and Jane Lynch at one point even mentioned Hakuna Matata. I thought I was living in the 90s again.
Contagion was number two. Drive, at its debut, made $11 million. That was good enough to put it in the number three slot. The Help and Straw Dogs rounded out the top five. Then I Don't Know How She Does It, the new Sarah Jessica Parker movie, was sixth. The Debt, Warrior, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Columbiana round out the top 10 at the box office. While we're talking about movies, just announced, John Singleton, director of Boys in the Hood, of course, and the new Taylor Lautner action thriller Abduction, announced this week that there will be an Abduction 2. Movie is still a week away from release, and he is announcing Abduction 2.
Doesn't that seem like he could have sat on that information for a week until we know it's a good idea?
Unless he's trying to tell us he is so sure that this is going to be a hit that he's already working on the sequel. Maybe he's trying to convince us, or himself, that it's a good movie, so we'll wait and see. But the trailer looks hilarious.
I don't think it's a
what?
Comedy,
it's not?
I think it's a drama.
We're coming to get you.
Not if I get you first.
He says into a cell phone like a four-year-old.
You don't think Taylor Lautner, hunky's one of the stars of Twilight, might be set up for a motion picture career yet?
He is fine until he opens his mouth, and then it all goes out the window. When he's jumping and running, he's fine. When he's a wolf, he's in good shape. But when he starts talking, boy, is he a bad actor. He is bad.
Save this tape for when Mr. Lautner joins us on Friday, would you please?
What? I mean, he's the best actor I've ever met. He's Keanu Reeves good. Last night were the Emmys. Congratulations to all the big winners. Kate Winslet won for Best Actress in a miniseries or movie, excuse me. Barry Pepper did the same for the Kennedys. Then Julie Bowen and Ty Burrell both won for Supporting Actor and Actress in a Comedy from Modern Family. Margot Martindale won for Best Actress, Supporting Actress in a Drama. If you don't watch Justified, you're missing out. And she has been so good on that show. I don't believe her character's around anymore. Spoiler alert.
I think you're right.
Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones, Best Supporting Actor in a Drama. Best Actor in a Drama went to... My list got screwed up here. A little help?
Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler, that's right. Yeah, Kyle Chandler. Best Actress in a Drama, Juliana Margulies. Best Actor in a Comedy, Jim Parsons. And Melissa McCarthy won for that category for Best Actress. Mad Men was Best Drama. Modern Family was Best Comedy. Congratulations to all the big winners. Whatever with the Emmys, by the way. Last week, the Marconis were given out. How about the Marconis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean, winner of the Marconi. Yeah. The Marconi Award. Marconis. The legendary fabled awards, the Marconis, that everyone talks about. You can't pick up a newspaper without reading about the Marconis.
I am told that that is a big deal, but I am suspect of that.
I am too. But congratulations to Kevin and Bean on their
Marconis. Hey, congratulations to the whole Kevin and Bean show, except for Beer Mug.
Yeah, except for him. As I mentioned last night, was the Emmys talking about television. I thought you might want a heads up on what new shows. This is really the week the premieres of the new shows, and some of your returning favorites are coming back this week. So I thought each day we would highlight some of them, and here's what you can look forward to tonight. If you're a fan like I am of Castle, good news, Castle comes back tonight with a brand new episode. 2 and a Half Men, of course, famously recast with Ashton Kutcher. That makes its debut this evening. 2 Broke Girls with the lovely Kat Dennings. She is debuting her new sitcom on CBS tonight as well. The Sing-Off, if you like people singing without any musical accompaniment, this is the show for you, because they do it all Acapulco. So that's impressive. They sing all the way from Mexico, apparently.
So impressive. This is for people who believe that musical instruments destroy songs.
Yes, you don't need that. It's BS. Dancing with the Stars tonight, brand new episode. See Chaz Bono. Chaz Bono and Lacey Schwimmer, I believe, is her dance partner.
Lacey likes to be the first in, first out.
Yeah. She won't be busy. That's for sure. And the Playboy Club on NBC.
There you go.
Talking about. That's
there
the show I've been looking
forward
to.
I'm the only one
seeing.
Applauding, but I'm excited enough for everybody.
The Playboy Club. I've been looking forward to this series for months now. I've been looking forward to it, so I will definitely be checking that out.
How do you do a 60s period piece on television now, Ralph, and be true to the time period and not mimic Mad Men? Because Mad Men has kind of invented our new understanding of what that era was like with how brilliantly they've done it.
And apparently this is very Mad Men-esque, which I don't think is a bad thing.
Yeah.
However,
Gotta get that Amber Heard on, by the way.
Yeah, we should. She's a good deal. It's funny, though. Another Mad Men-esque show that debuts this fall called Pan Am on ABC is running to a bit of a trouble because they're owned by ABC and Disney. Disney has sent down the edict that they are not allowed to smoke on that show.
Well, how do you do a show in the 60s and not have people smoking?
How do you do a show about the early 1960s, especially in bars and airplanes and stuff, and not have anyone light up?
That's ridiculous.
But you can't show it on ABC because, you know, Mickey Mouse doesn't like smoke.
Why? What's this thing where you have to sanitize the past and make it PC when it wasn't in the 1960s? That's like, hey, I know you guys are making The Help, but make sure the blacks and whites are equal when you do.
And everybody gets along.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. There has to be someone who goes, hey, maybe historical accuracy is worth something.
NBC's Playboy Club, the one we're talking about, has also felt pressure from a lot of women's groups. So tonight's episode, all of the Playboy bunnies will be played by men. That's what I
thought.
There's going to be a bunch of dudes in those outfits, and not nearly as exciting as it was back then. Today's celebrity birthday is Danielle Pennebaker is 24 years old today. Victoria Silvstedt celebrates her 37th birthday, as does Jimmy Fallon. Sherry O'Terry from SNL is 49 years old. Jeremy Irons celebrates his 63rd birthday. James Lipton, host of Inside the Actors Studio, is 85 years old.
What? That's stunning.
And TV's Batman, the classic Batman, the Bright Knight, as opposed to the Dark Knight. Adam West celebrates his birthday today. Happy birthday to my friend and hero, Adam West. He's 83 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Seems like it's been more than a few minutes since the last Offspring album, by the way.
Yeah, get to work,
fellas.
Too busy
making hot sauce or something. I don't know what the deal is there.
Dexter.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:08. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Tyler Labine is on the phone. One of our favorites.
Hey.
We know him and love him from the TV and also from the movies. He was in the Planet of the Apes movie just a couple months ago, and now he has like 20 movies coming out. Tyler, do you nothing but work? What's your deal, dude?
Well, I'm a father as well. So, you know, I work with no sleep as well, which is fun.
Gotcha. All right. Now, the one you're on to talk about today is something unusual in the horror genre, also something unusual in the comedy genre, because it looks like it's a little bit of both. It's called Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Let me start by saying, terrible title.
Awesome title. Are you kidding me? It's great.
Thank you. I'm more of that school of thought. I think it's a genius title because it's like, you know, at least it gets people talking. It's better than the other movie title I have coming out called A Good Old-Fashioned Orgy.
Now, that one's going to get me to theaters without knowing anything about it, though. That's like going to see a bare naked ladies concert. You see that on the marquee, you're in, you know?
True.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil, to me, it sounds like, what was that, Ballistic versus Seavers or whatever that movie was a couple of years ago? I could never, like, understand what the hell was going on. It was just too many words in a weird order.
I don't know. But you know what? At least this movie, the name is exactly what the movie is about.
Right.
It's me and Tucker, and we're up against evil, and that's it. It makes sense once you watch the movie.
It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It just tells you everything you got right there.
It's meta. It's kind of a joke, you know? It's like, it's supposed to make you sort of go, what the hell is that movie about? You know, it's more of a comedy than a horror by far.
Oh, good. All right, explain the, I think it's a very funny premise and something fresh that we have not seen before. Explain what happens.
Okay, well, I mean, it's a pretty dense pitch, so get ready.
All right.
It is basically about these two good old boys, me and Alan Tudyk, who play Tucker and Dale, and we just want to go to our cabin and drink Blue Ribbon, and we want to fish. We want to just hang out and do what good old boys do. And in the process, we run into these kids, these college kids, who end up starting to believe that we are trying to kill them because of the different perspective that we put on the movie. Every time they try to rescue their friend that I have rescued from them, one of them dies by accident. And from their perspective, it looks like we're killing them. So they keep thinking we're killing their friends. And we're like, why are you guys killing yourselves all over our property? So we think they've joined like a suicide pact. And we're trying to think. We're just like the most confused that two guys can ever be. It's an onslaught of murder, of college kid murder. And we're covered in blood. And it's like, you're allowed to laugh at the most gory stuff in this movie. And I think it is fresh. It's fresh and it's gory.
So this is kind of a spoof on The Hills Have Eyes and those kind of movies where you always find the city folk trapped by the horrible carnivorous hillbillies who are taking people out. Right?
I think Eli Craig, our director, was like, he presupposed the question, what if Leatherface was really just a misunderstood guy? You know, what if he's a real do-gooder, but you know, he got caught up in some bad circumstances and poor Leatherface.
Imagine putting myself in Tucker and Dale's shoes. Imagine how bizarre that would be to have everybody think you're these murderous backwoods hillbillies and you're just guys out there just trying to have some beer and fish on the weekend. What the hell is? Why are people accusing me of these horrible things?
Well, see, this is where we get into this classism. You know, the movie has a bit of a deeper edge. I'm not going to say it's like, you know, Oscar fodder, but we definitely have some. We're dealing with the don't judge a book by its cover sort of issue here, you know. And just because you look like one way doesn't mean that you're going to go off on a murderous rampage. But
right, exactly. I mean, yeah. I would say less than 80% of hillbillies are actually killers. Would you guys say that's about accurate? Yeah. Less than 80%?
I think that actually is the official stat. Yeah, 80%.
That's the scientific average, yes.
Now, Tyler Labine is always great in everything he does. And I don't just throw that out there in a Hollywood way. I mean, you're one of those actors, you can't take your eyes off you on the screen because you look like you're having so much fun when you're doing it. Is it still just like a blast for you to be an actor, Tyler?
Yeah, I feel like I'm cheating half the time, you know? Like, I feel like one day everyone's just going to realize that I've got them all fooled because they're paying me to do exactly what I love to do. And, you know, I feel like if more actors were like that, then I think there would not be as much, we wouldn't be, you know, saturated with crap out there half the time. I think if people are enjoying what they're doing, it's infectious. It's fun to watch on the screen. So, you know, I've been lucky and I've picked some good projects and worked with good people and I just think it's all about the work, man. If you're not having fun doing it, then get out, leave.
And that's a really good point. And there are people, and I understand the, hey, I got to pay a mortgage, so I got to take a job. There are lots of people, even good actors, you know, who have ended up in bad projects. But you've, at this point, managed to navigate your career to the point where it seems like you've done pretty much quality stuff. And that must be so satisfying that you've been able to get away with it.
It is really good, but I mean, keep in mind, I grew up in Canada, and there are many, many archived bits of footage of me doing, Exactly that. Some very, very horrible problem.
Oh, we got to find the embarrassing Tyler Labine role, don't we?
Oh, it goes back. It goes deep. But, yeah, I've been really lucky. I've been really
The movie
really
is
lucky.
Rated R, which I was very happy about. What's R about it?
I think, honestly, it's just the gore factor. I mean, it's so gratuitous and so over the top, but that's where the humor really kind of is born from, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to put the wrong idea in people's heads that, like, well, don't be careful about this one. If you're queasy, easy, don't go see it. It's all really funny, but I guess what are they called? The MPAA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess they have to sort of put their foot down at one point and say that's a certain amount of blood. You know, you had 18 buckets of blood in that scene. That puts you over the edge for the R. Because it's not like we're potty mouths or it's like, you know, there's not a ton of sexual content or anything. There is one set of boobies in there.
All right.
Okay.
Now
we're talking. Right. That's all we need.
I think that might have helped with the rating, too.
They're not yours, though, are they, Tyler?
No.
Okay, all right.
I don't call those boobies anyway. Those are my
Well, you should look again because they kind of are.
How
all right,
dare
Tyler,
you?
Kyla Labine is on the phone here on the Kevin Labine Show. The film is called Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. It is available now on demand in theater September 30th. I think we've explained the movie fine, but I think you'll also enjoy hearing this little piece from the trailer as well.
What am I doing here?
Fell into the water. I dove in and rescued you. We'll go find your friends. You should relax. Tucker and Dale are on the case.
What is this place?
It's just a cabin. It doesn't mean they're psycho killers.
Then why don't you go in there and talk to them?
All right. Maybe I will. I said maybe.
Dale, what are you doing?
Digging a
hole. You mind if I help?
He's making her dig her own grave. This is a suicide pact. These kids are coming out here and they're killing themselves all over the wood.
How'd you get the good old boy accent, Tyler, being from Canada? Did you go spend some time in Alabama or something?
No, but I did happen to have the best coach ever, Alan Tudyk. He's a he's a Texan boy through and through. And we were kind of like, we got there and we were like, all right, it's West Virginia. Let's work on a very specific West Virginian accent. And Alan just said, you know what?
Screw it.
A few days of shooting, I'm just gonna end up being Texan. So why don't you just follow my lead? And I was like, you know what? You have to have the same accent. So I just kind of tried to mimic Alan. And the funny thing about the Southern drawl, man, is like, that's a really fun, easy way to talk. I couldn't stop doing that for like hours after I'd wrap up. I'd call my wife and be like, hey, so listen, babe, I was wondering what are you girls? And she's like, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm sorry. It took me a while to get it back, you know, out of the drawl because it's like, no wonder they like to talk like that. That's easy. It's nice.
It is easy.
And yeah. You guys are working with the lovely and talented Katrina Bowden, too, from 30 yeah. Rock. So.
She's great, man. She's great. She's like G.I. Joe. She's more than meets the eye. I think in this movie, people are going to be like, oh, she's not just Sari from 30 Rock. You know, she's got some chops, and she's a smart, beautiful gal.
Well, it's a great cast. It's a great concept. It sounds like a lot of fun. As I mentioned, the movie is available on demand. Do you like that new way that some of the Hollywood movies are doing it, where you don't have to immediately go to theaters, Tyler? Is that something you're signed off on?
I guess, you know, like Magnet Releasing, who's doing this, they're doing it well. It's working for them. They're picking the exact right type of movies that, like, they do garner their own sort of attention, and then people also really want to see them in theaters. It's a bit of like a spectator movie, you know? So
right.
If you get people sort of buzzing about it on video on demand, I think they will go to the cinema because they want to see it with other people.
Right.
And those are the type of movies they're releasing. So.
Well, good luck with that, and also with the good old-fashioned orgy, which I hope we get a chance to talk with you about sometime soon as well. Tyler, you know you're always welcome on the Kevin Labine Show, man. We enjoyed catching up with you, dude.
Thanks, guys. Nice to talk to you.
And now, a long moment with Ralph.
Changed everything. Decided to save money on paying players. Wow.
All right, dude from Canada.
Friday. Yeah, really. And enjoying... Just call for
You've
the tickets.
Seen the ad.
Just call for the ticket.
That was a long moment with Ralph.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that very much.
That was pretty strong. I like it, too. It happens to everybody, though. All right. Time for one final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the winners at the box office this weekend. And the biggest winner was the King of the Jungle, The Lion King. In 3D, the re-release from Disney made almost $30 million. Making it number one this weekend. By far, the closest competitor was Contagion with $14.5 million, made it number two. Drive, a much-anticipated film,
made $11 million in its debut. Only $11 million made it number three. I predict it would have been number one if it wasn't for that horrible font on the poster. It would have been number one by far if it wasn't for that cheesy pink 80s font they used.
You've been saying it all along. It looks like a Ralph Macchio movie.
Hold your back. The Help was fourth. Straw Dogs in its debut was fifth. I don't know how she does it. The new Sarah Jessica Parker film was sixth with only $4.5 million in its debut. If Lisa May didn't go this weekend,
I didn't.
Yeah. You know people aren't going to see this.
Yeah.
The Debt, Warrior, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Columbiana were the other films in the top ten this weekend.
I hate to say something nice about Kevin when he's not here, but many people are agreeing with him that The Warrior is one of the best movies of the year and that it ought to get some Oscar consideration when the time comes around.
Well, maybe
critics
it will.
Are going crazy for this movie,
which is
such a surprise because you hear the premise of it and you go, "Oh, right, yeah, MMA brothers fighting. It's got to be lame."
Apparently, it's very good. Saw it this weekend, loved it. Said it was really good. So
it said it was better than The Fighter, which is inconceivable to me because that was so great.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Excellence in Television was rewarded last night at the Emmy Awards. Jane Lynch was the host of the show on Fox, and Mad Men and Modern Family won for Best TV Shows in Drama and Comedy. Best Actress in a Drama was Juliana Margulies. Best Actor was Kyle Chandler. For Comedy, it was Jim Parsons and Melissa McCarthy who took home the big prizes. Supporting Actor in a Drama was Peter Dinklage for his work on Game of Thrones. Best Supporting Actress in a Drama was Margot Martindale from Justified. Supporting Actor in a Comedy was Ty Burrell, and his co-star Julie Bowen won for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy. Congratulations also to Marty Scorsese, who won for Outstanding Directing in a Drama Series for Boardwalk Empire. So, it's glad to see that show get some consideration, even though it got ignored pretty much elsewhere.
I know that Mark Wahlberg is a producer on that show, and that's why he got the shout out. But there was something surreal about seeing Martin Scorsese on stage thanking Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch. It was a weird moment.
Did you see Paz de la Huerta?
I didn't see. Was she there last night?
Yeah.
I didn't see her.
Oh, she was on the red carpet. I don't know if you saw any of the pregame.
I didn't see any. No.
But, wow. I think she was wasted again.
Oh, really?
And she's very, very orange now. I don't understand what's going on with her tanning regimen, but she needs to talk to someone.
She has trouble keeping her tops on. Was that a factor at all?
No. She didn't show any cans last night, to the best of my knowledge, but she was a hot mess. So,
yeah.
She's got a lot going on there. While we're talking about TV, check out the new shows that are going to be on television tonight. If you want to be up to date, you got to start. This is the week. They're all starting to air. Playboy Club is tonight on NBC. You can check that out. Amber Heard in a bunny costume. Need I say more? Two Broke Girls, the new series with Kat Dennings, is also on CBS tonight. You can check that out. The new cast of Two and a Half Men with Ashton Kutcher. It's going to be on CBS tonight. I may watch my first ever entire episode of Two and a Half Men.
I am planning to do just that.
See what's going on with that Ashton Kutcher.
Mm-hmm.
Castle's back tonight on ABC. How I Met Your Mother on CBS. Dancing with the Stars returns on ABC tonight. And tonight is also the Charlie Sheen roast over on Comedy Central.
Right. Oh, right.
So there's a lot of television to check out. I suggest you get to work now. Take the day off of work and just start watching television.
They're not on yet, though. The shows haven't started. You got to wait till tonight.
It's hardly an excuse, Bean. Heidi Klum is the most dangerous name you can search for on the web. McAfee, the internet security firm, said that while you're searching for certain people's screensavers or photos or stories, you have a 1 in 10 chance of landing on a site with viruses, spyware, spam, and more. But the odds increase with certain celebrities. And apparently, Heidi Klum's name was the most dangerous.
Bum, bum, bum. Why?
Why
Heidi Klum?
Because I guess internationally, perhaps, she is the biggest name out there model-wise, and they know people are looking for photos of her, so they will attach their spyware and their viruses and spam to those sites. Second on the list was Cameron Diaz.
Maybe you're trying to get rid of a boner, so you're thinking, what can I bring up real quick that'll make this go away?
You search for bad skin, apparently. That's also a very dangerous way to search for her. Piers Morgan was third. You know, I love to get a nice hot picture of Piers Morgan when I'm feeling particularly sexy with myself. I just want to just relax with a hot picture of Piers Morgan.
Sometimes you can find it when he's got his tie off.
No,
oh, it's so hot. Good.
Jessica Biel was fourth, and then Katherine Heigl. That's the top five. So be careful what you download, folks. I've always said that. Be careful what you download. And I mean that in the filthiest way possible. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danielle Pennebaker. She's 24 years old. Victoria Silvstedt.
Oh.
She was at one time the Playmate of the Year. Had a bit of an acting career, worked a little bit. I see photos of her still all the time. She seems to be vacationing with rich men all over the world. That's what she does now.
That's
so
a nice
she's a
life.
Hooker.
She is not a hooker, sir. How dare you?
What you're saying is she's a hooker now.
No, it's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying she is a lovely, charming woman who men enjoy spending some time with.
Write a big enough check and she'll live with you, is what you're saying.
How dare you?
I understand.
Jimmy Fallon, late night talk show host, is 37 as well. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live is 49. Jeremy Irons. Amazingly talented actor. He is 63 years old. You watching that Borges at all, that show over there?
No, but when I saw the clips on the Emmys last night, I thought, that really does look good.
Yeah, he's great in that show. TV personality, Inside the Actors Studio host James Lipton celebrates his 85th birthday today.
That is, I will never get over that.
I find that inconceivable. And TV's Batman and also the mayor of Quahog, Rhode Island, Adam West, celebrates his 83rd birthday today.
Adam West.
Sing it,
Adam West. Mm-hmm. A little bit softer now. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West.
Where's Adam's album? If Shatner can be released in a new album of music, where is Adam West's album? That's what I want to know.
I would pay to hear that. And
how
by the way,
how great would it be him singing the hits?
It'd be awesome. Have we gotten a date on his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yet?
I am in touch with his daughter and son-in-law. We're kind of putting it together now, and it looks like it'll be early next year. We're hoping April, around April sometime.
Great, great.
So I will keep you posted. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to everybody for listening to today's Kevin and Bean Show. We got a good one for you tomorrow. The beautiful Zooey Deschanel is going to be on.
Nice.
Who you know I love. Yeah, and I may not be able to be a part of that interview. You guys may have to hear me.
Because
I
think
not in a creepy way. No, not in a creepy way. Just genuine love. Just genuine admiration.
DJ Taint is going to show
affection.
Up.
It's Bean. It's not like that. I'm sorry. I just love her so much. Yeah. She was an elf, you know.
Yeah, we know.
We do.
I just fell in love with her a million times.
All right.
And I love her records. And she's
all
cute.
Right.
And she's on the show tomorrow. You mock, but you're going to be the same way for Yvonne Strahovski tomorrow, too, because I know how much you love
Chuck.
Her.
Yes.
So she's going to be on. She's in that awesome new Robert De Niro movie, too. We'll be talking about that. Let me see. What else on tomorrow's show?
Ralph? I might have something else.
Jason O'Mara?
Jason O'Mara is going to be on the program tomorrow?
Yeah. I can't wait to see that show.
Ralph found an interesting book that has been written, and you're going to think this is a thin premise for a book, but why do women have sex is the topic of the... It's apparently a very different answer. Because why do men have sex? Because they can. Why do women have sex? There's apparently hundreds of different reasons why women have sex.
Here's a fascinating premise. They found, and no surprise, most men find most women attractive.
Okay.
Most men, given the opportunity, would have sex with most women. Most women find very few men sexually attractive. But a lot of women are having a lot of sex. So they did a survey to find out why women are having sex.
With men,
not for desire.
They don't find that attractive.
Right. For more often than not, it's not desire. Why are they doing it? They found over 200 separate reasons why women had sex with men over the years.
Interesting.
Unbelievable.
Very interesting concept.
And one of them is because I was holding a gun, right? That's in the book, right?
Oh, my God, you're disgusting.
Apparently, there's a new Asperger's test that Ralph insists we give on the air. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know why we're going through that charade either, because the answer's obvious, but I think I would like you to answer the questions.
We got a new Bean's Death Corner for you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And also some highlights of the Charlie Sheen roast, which, as Ralph mentioned, is going to be on Comedy Central tonight. So that is a pretty action-packed show, and it all happens on most of these same stations tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean.